Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. We're back live tonight with Keeping It Real Fridays, a special Ask Dadon edition of Keeping It Real Fridays, where we're going to be discussing, honestly, just about pretty much everything. A lot of current events have been going on in the news, in the entertainment industry, in sports. So, we want to take some time on a Friday night and just give you all an overall classic show and, some good advice, some good information, and keep it real as always. The main thing that we want to – I shouldn't say the main thing, but one of the – probably the biggest stories of this past week or so is obviously the Donald Sterling situation with the L.A. Clippers that, everybody and their mom has been talking about. So we definitely wanted to come back tonight and just give you, our perspective on it from a in regards to racism and, in America and where we stand. I think the day after it happened, or the day of, I rebroadcasted our special on racism in America, and hopefully you guys got a chance to hear our analyzation of the movie 12 Years a Slave and, what it's like being a black man in America and just, from a corporate America standpoint, from a sports standpoint, from just a social standpoint. So definitely a classic show there. So hopefully you guys got a chance to tune into that. Courtney is here with me tonight, as always. Courtney, what's going on with you?
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. You ready for tonight's Keeping It Real Fridays? You ready to keep it real, or are you just going front like you normally do? Not.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. That's real tonight. No, I'm going to keep it real.
All right, cool. No, I'm just messing with you, Courtney. That's what's up. Courtney always keeps it real, as you guys know. Courtney has been getting some, Courtney, I haven't even told you. A lot of people have been reaching out to me, just, some people that you've worked with through private counseling, some people that are in the Each Woman groups, so a lot of, praise has been coming your way just as far as the realness and the advice and the, the feedback that you give night in and night out. So just wanted to share that with you and the listeners. Anything to say to those individuals before we get into it?
Of course. I mean, I thank those people, for the kind words, and it's great. I mean, it feels good every time, to hear that. And then also, I mean, I do it for them. This is not about me or anything like that. It's to help them. So I'm just happy that, they've been blessed.
Good, excellent. You guys know the last time we were live, we announced that not only is Courtney, has been with us as, a part of Tolbert Relationship Counseling, but we made the huge announcement that Minister Oshel High is now a partner with us with Tolbert Relationship Counseling, and some people have already reached out to him for counseling, so that's great. So, shout out to, him, shout out to Courtney, and, you guys are always welcome to reach out to myself, Courtney Oshel, for anything, dating, relationships, spiritual matters, anything, we're here for you. Couples counseling, all that good stuff. So there's that huge announcement right now. You guys have noticed. Now we're going to really jump into it because we have so much to talk about tonight, but I just got to get some business out of the way first. A huge, big announcement. You guys know over the years we've added different components. Many of you may know we started this show out seven nights a week, one night a week. Thursday nights at 9, some of you guys may remember we started out just once, like most of these shows out here once a week, but because of you guys, the popularity that, you guys asked us to, so we did it, we increased to, I think, 3 nights a week and then 4 nights a week, then ultimately we just went ahead and did 7 nights a week, which is what we've been doing for several years, and in those days we've added, Advice Mondays, Barbershop Talk Tuesdays, Beauty Shop Talk Wednesdays, Keeping It Real Fridays, recently Saturday Night Live. We're adding another component. Sunday, and obviously we've done some other things with, author spotlight on Sunday nights. What we're going to be doing is something that is brand new, something that is unprecedented. Myself and Oshel, who you guys got a chance to hear on our special on Noah, where we broke down the movie, talked about Hollywood's agenda. And so him and I are going to be doing a show on Sunday nights. It's going to be called Between Brothers. and also somebody who you guys know I view as a brother, you know, definitely a brother in Christ, you know, somebody I've known for 20 years, and we go back. So him and I are going to be doing a show, just, you know, like an hour show, where you get a chance to hear just him and I bounce some issues off each other. We're going to take some calls. We're going to do advice questions. We're going to have specialized topics, you know, from a Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, about relationships, about church issues, spirituality, sexuality, you know, all types of things. So, and I, you know, because a lot of people have been asking, like, all right, yeah, you know, we know how Osho, you know, feels about this, but we want to hear him talk, you know, in some other areas. So that's what that's for. You guys are welcome. We'll have some special guests, you know, popping in to, you know, to join us on the show as well. You know, obviously brothers for, who are also, you know, rooted in Christ. So, and this is exclusively, like, I haven't even told Courtney. We haven't told anybody about this. So you guys are hearing this for the first time. So look at that. I'm going out of town next week, but look out for it, like, probably, you know, towards the end of the month, early next month we'll launch it. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be on Sunday nights, you know, at 9, and, you know, we'll keep it moving like that. Courtney, I didn't get a chance to tell you about that. What do you think about that? Good idea, bad idea?
I can't get rid of this smile on my face. I'm so excited. That is so awesome. I can't wait. That's going to be so great.
Yeah, so definitely you guys can utilize Osho, utilize myself, and, you know, get some of your questions and topics, you know, discussed. Let's jump into it. A lot of, like I said, we definitely want to talk about this Donald Sterling, but that's honestly, to be real with you, that's like one of the things that I'm least excited to talk about tonight, but we'll, you know, we'll get to it a little bit later, but there's so many other things. One thing, though, that I want to start off with, I was watching, my wife and I, we were watching Chicago Fire. You know, we have, she has her shows like Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and, I don't know, some of these other shows that she likes to watch, House Hunters, you know, those are her shows, you know. If I'm in the room, I'm in the room. But then I have my shows, like, you know, 24, and although that's become our show, but over the years. But, you know, things that you guys know are shows I tend to watch. And then we have, so her shows, my shows, and then, you know, our shows. And Chicago Fire is one of, you know, our shows where we tend to watch together. And it's a really good show on NBC if you guys haven't got a chance to check it out. But one of the things that, you know, we were talking about the other night when we were talking about just Hollywood and their agenda and, you know, and how they use movies, television shows, and, you know, to illustrate and often foreshadow things to come. All right, like we talked about this several months ago when the season premiere of The Blacklist, or I should say the series premiere of The Blacklist, last year, when the very first episode, the very first scene, they show somebody getting, you know, the mark of the beast, you know, like the chip inserted into their arm, like into the person's hand. It was really ridiculous. So, you know, that was a good example of that. And, you know, I was watching it today, and Chicago Fire, that is, and I was just really, my mouth was just dropped open. If you look at the one-year anniversary of the Boston bombing, which we discussed a couple weeks ago, I don't know if you guys watched the show, but there was, you know, the whole, I don't know if y'all saw the last episode, centered around these people, you know, the whole, you know, this, you know, that was the plot where they were about to run a 10-mile race, right? And right as they're about to start the race, I think they were even running the race, you know, a huge bomb goes off, and it just destroys, like, it kills, you know, tons of people and destroys all the stuff. People are trapped under rubble and stuff. That's the whole plot of it. And it was like, straight out of, you know, the Boston bombing. You can tell that it was literally, you know, it was planned to coincide, like, right after the one-year anniversary of that. I mean, I don't know if y'all see the significance of that, but that's, I mean, if nothing else, you know what I'm saying? If nothing, if you guys heard our show on the Boston bombing, you understand why we're focusing on it, because, you know, all the whole government agenda with that, and, you know, why it happened, what the intention was. Then you see them using, you know, this very popular TV show on a network station. Like, Courtney, are you seeing where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do, and it's very obvious at this point. You know, at first it was like, you know, it went right over my head, those types of things that would happen. But, yeah, you see it all the time. It's just you have to pay attention. They'll tell you.
And I would just encourage everybody to do just that. You know, just pay attention to, I mean, whether it's these songs that are on being played every day, Happy, whether it's these, you know, like even just, I just happened to see it just in passing. I didn't even watch this one, but I'll tell y'all, so much to talk about. We might be here all night, I'll be honest. I got so much to talk about. But I was watching, flipping through the channels, and I saw a advertisement for Thor, right? You guys know this, you know Marvel, and I clicked on it, the info, you know, button, and it said, you know, if you guys, it's on there. Like, I think it's on FX or one of these stations. If you click on the info, it says, you know, something to the effect of a fault, you know, what does it say? Thor was kicked out of heaven because of his arrogance. You know what I mean? Kicked off of his planet, you know, and you know, exiled to, you know, to Earth because of his arrogance. Well, you know, Courtney, what does that sound like to you?
That sounds like Satan when he was kicked out.
It sounds like Satan. That's definitely, obviously, you know, Lucifer. That was that. But if you guys heard our episode, you know, where we talked about Noah and where we got into deep into fallen angels, okay, and we looked at what aliens are, you know, what people, you know, assume are people from other planets, where you look at, you know, if, you know, what is Thor? Well, he's somebody from another planet, you know, and if you, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it tonight, but you know what a quote-unquote alien is and what that represents, then you look at why they would come up with that description. It's, you know, he said he was, you know, he was a fallen angel. He was exiled, you know, to Earth. You see, I hope you guys see where I'm going. This stuff is so deep, man. These guys analyze this stuff. They spend time thinking about the wording. They take the Bible, and I've been reading Genesis. I'm just in the process of just rereading the entire Bible, and just in doing that, God has shown me so many things that I didn't even see before, you know. And just in Genesis, it shows you so much stuff that you see so many people, so many television shows, so many movies, so many songs. They take it straight from the Bible. And I would just encourage all y'all to just, like, read it again if you haven't already. Read it just from a different perspective. And, like, you will see, like, it's even other religions, you know, whether it's Islam and, you know, or so many other these, you know what I'm saying, these people, these, you know, so many situations you see out here in the media are taken straight from the Bible, but then made a mockery of, okay? And this is that, you know, Thor is just a, you know, an example of that. I was watching with my wife, we went on last Saturday to go see Captain America. You know, and, oh man, me and Osho, we had a nice little conversation about that. I mean, just the, you know, the agenda. I think in there they said something like, you know, like the people who are controlling the world, like the, you know, the government officials, the secret officials, they were just like, you know, something to the effect of, not to tell the whole movie, but they were said something to the effect of, you know, we have no problem killing 20 million, you know, if it for the long-term benefit of 7 billion. You know what I'm saying? Which is obviously the, you know, the shaping of a new world order. You know what I'm saying? It said something like the long-term unification. Like, it was something blatant. It was just like, whoa, okay, you're talking about the new world. You know what I mean? Like, they will put that stuff right into the, you know, these movies. And, you know, and unfortunately, they're right, because they do it thinking that nobody will catch it. And in most cases, they're right. But when you read the word, when you're familiar with the word, and when you're familiar with the overall agenda, you see what it is. So I just encourage everybody just to, you know what I mean, just kind of open up your eyes. But so that was that Chicago Fire. I wanted to talk about a number of things, and I'm just going down the list. I got a whole list of stuff to get into. But there was an article that was posted, you know, recent. Well, it's been around. It's a story that's been in the news, but I saw an article online which was talking about the gospel singer James Fortune and his child abuse case. Did you? And, you know, we talked about it over in the group, the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group, and I told you guys I would discuss it tonight because that was something that hit home for me. Were you familiar with that? Did you get a chance to see what that's all about?
Yes, I was so upset after reading that really upset me. it was just crazy. Like, how could you do that to a child? Because it said, like, he put his stepson in scalding hot water, and he burned. He had, like, severe burns. And, that's crazy to me. Like, why would you ever do that to a child or anyone for that matter?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with me, and I want to, you know, we did a show a couple of weeks ago on parenting, you know, parenting in the Black community, and really just parenting, you know, as a whole. And, you know, shout out to everybody who tuned into that, and definitely, you know, check that out if you missed it. Probably be rebroadcasting in a few days, but, you know, it's archived on the site. And but James Fortune, I mean, for me, that's somebody I never was, like, a huge fan of, but, you know, I was familiar with his music and, you know, whatever, but... I don't like to just go off of stories, because I know there are two sides of every story, but for me, I was just looking at it, and I really did some research on it. This is a situation where he did plead guilty to, and not even saying that necessarily means guilt all the time. A lot of times people plead guilty just to avoid certain situations and just kind of put it past them. But, you know, after seeing, you know, the bruises, I mean, I shouldn't even say bruises, because it's not bruises, the wounds, the burns. I mean, this guy was, you know, the child was put into a bathtub with scalding hot water. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even like getting in jacuzzi sometimes, just because, and my wife makes fun of me, just because, like, you know, I like, you know, showers to be not super hot, and, you know, I mean, jacuzzis have to be the right temperature, else I don't get in. But, I mean, so to imagine just putting somebody in a super hot, you know, bathtub with, you know, scalding water, and to the point where it leaves burn marks. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happened. And then what really did it for me, though, and this is why I have no respect for this guy, is because when I actually heard the 911 call, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what did it. Like, you you can hear him calling the police and say, you know, I need an ambulance here. You know, saying what happened. You know, he says my son was burned. You know, he didn't say my stepson. He said my son was burned. You know, they said, well, how was he burned? He says, well, he was playing around in the tub. He ran some water and he was playing around in the tub, which is just, you know, absolutely ridiculous. You can hear the lie in his voice. Just that discernment. I know I could. I don't know if you guys got a chance to, but it's just like, wow, like, you just, like, abused your stepson. You had that much of a temper that you just, you know, and, I said online, I have no problem saying it here on the air. I mean, if that would have been my daughter or, you know, or my son or anything like that, I mean, you know, that would definitely be a bad day for, you know, for James Fortune, you know, or anybody else for that matter. And I think that, you know, we as parents, we have to, you know, and just to be, not to make anybody uncomfortable, but you guys know me, this is Keeping It Real Fridays. This is one of the reasons why we are, it's not supposed to be step parents. It's not supposed to be, you know, step this and step that. It's supposed to be, you know, parents, men raising their sons, men raising their daughters, mothers raising their sons, mothers raising their daughters, you know, husbands and wives raising their children together, okay? That's how it's supposed to be biblically. And you look at not just this situation, but situations as a whole where so many other bad things happen. When you look at, like, wow, how could this have been avoided? And people say everything else but, you know, following the word, following what God says, you know, we are supposed to, you know, conduct ourselves in dating situations and in relationship situations. You know, and nobody wants to talk about that, but this is how situations should be avoided. James Fortune should not be raising another man's son. You know what I'm saying? That's just, you know what I mean? I don't know. Those are just my thoughts, though. What, I mean, how do you feel?
Yeah, I do. I agree with that. I do. And I think they showed a clip of the father. He didn't seem, I don't know, I mean, maybe this was, like, way after the fact, but when I saw it, he didn't seem to be too, like, upset, or as upset as he should have been, because I was mad, you know, for him. I just think that was just a horrible situation. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say about that. But, no, yes, I do. This is the last thing. I think some people were looking at it, and they were really surprised because they're looking at James Fortune as, okay, he's this great gospel singer, and he does this and he does that, and so, you know, how could he ever do anything like that? But it's people, it's crooked people everywhere, so.
And then you turn on the radio. Like, I don't know if, you know, how far his syndication reaches, but or if it's syndicated at all, but I know here in Philly he has a radio show. And I'm just like really? Like, on the major gospel station, or really the only gospel station in Philly. And I'm just like, you know, really? You're just going to, you know, be familiar with this? Whoever's calling the shots, whoever's in charge, you're just okay with somebody like this having, you know, a voice? And you know, representing the station when I mean, it's like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no excuse for that. There's no justification. There's no, oh, okay, he just fell into the tub. Like, no, you abused your son, your stepson. You know, and I'm just like, wow. And people will see this and still go buy the James Fortune CD, you know, still not even care. I don't care if y'all support him or not, but still, I mean, at least care. You know what I'm saying? Like, at least, like, these are our kids out here. You know, you look at these ignorant niggas out here. I mean, and people act like they don't see it. When you're driving down your cars, driving down the street in your cars, you know, I know you all see these kids with their pants sagging all the way down to their knees. You see it. You know what I'm saying? I don't care where you live, you see it. And it's black kids. I mean, yeah, you know, it's, you know, maybe some white kids, you know, here and there. You may happen to see it, although I don't tend to see it. You know what I'm saying? Where I tend to go, that's just me. But, you got to see what I'm saying. It's like our kids. Back in the day, there was a time when any adult could just pull one of those kids aside and smack them upside their head and say, yo, pull your pants up. You know what I mean? And so now there's not only is there not that, but, you know, it's almost become accepted. You know, it's become an acceptable. It's like people care about Donald Sterling, and people care about Don Imus and these other racist guys who just happen to, you know, say something against blacks. If somebody says something against blacks, somebody criticizes Obama, then it's a problem. Somebody criticizes Beyonce. But where are the people criticizing our own people? Where are the people saying, hey, look, you know, these are the things that we can do differently. These are the things that we can do better. You know, you have 16-year-old girls out here being hoes and sluts and, you know, fake eyelashes and makeup on. You got dudes, you know, selling drugs, smoking weed, looking, you know, walking around like, you know, ignorant, you know, homeless kids, and nobody seems to care. Can't stuttering and can't even read a book, can't even spell, you know, 16-year-olds reading at a fifth grade level. And it's just like, you know, like, where are the parents here? Which, you know, which we'll get to this whole Beyonce and Jay-Z concert thing. You know, we'll get to that. But, it, you know what I'm saying? That would actually be a good segue. But, you know what I'm saying? That's a problem. You know, when you look at the future, I mean, I'm really worried about the future of our kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm really worried. One of the things that I was reading over the last week in Genesis was, well, a lot of different things, and, you know, but one of the things that God was really particular about, you know, is how people were treated, you know, how people who stood for God were treated, you know, and how people, God would lay down the law and say, look, I know what you got. In fact, there was one passage, I forget the actual, you know, scripture, but he was like, and this is kind of on a whole nother, you know, note, but he was like, if anyone harms or molests this man, you know, they will have, you know, they will basically answer to me, which is, you know, that's a whole nother conversation, you know. But the point is, back in the day, people were held accountable for their actions. There was somebody, that person being God, looking down saying, you know what, I'm going to make sure, you know, you carry yourself and conduct yourself the way that you're supposed to. Otherwise, there's going to be hell to pay. And unfortunately, we don't have that. I mean, we still have God looking down, but there aren't people who respect God in that way, people who don't respect God's word, people who don't respect authority. These kids don't respect authority, and the parents don't know how to be authoritative figures. So what happens is we're living in hell on earth. I mean, you see, I know you see it out there in Chicago.
Yeah, I saw it today. I mean, I see it every day. You see it every single day, and it's just, it's so sad. It's really just sad to see these kids are kids raising kids. You know, I was just driving today. These kids just randomly, they had their pants sagged. They just ran out into the street for no reason, just playing. It's like, where are your parents? Like, that's a problem.
Right. I was driving, and, you know, I was just happened to be driving. I was at a red light. But then these kids, it was maybe like seven of them. And I'll be honest with you. You guys know, I keep it honest. Yes, I love Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a Christian man. But I was at the stoplight. And I have to be honest with y'all. You know, it's messed up out here. We live in really tough times. You know, we live in the type of times where if you're at a stoplight and you get five or six guys walking in front of, like, they just walked out in front of the car. You know what I mean? Like, blatantly. The light turned green. And had I not been paying attention, you know, normally you, when the light turns green, or sometimes when you know it's about to turn green, you're about to just go. Y'all know how it goes. As soon as it turned green, for some reason, I think I was looking down at my phone or doing something else, and I just happened to pause. These like, six guys, they just walked out into the street. The light is green. No, you know, and even if you do that, you know how you kind of, like, jog or you kind of run and maybe, like, oh, my bad, you know, thanks for waiting. These guys, they had the nerve to just look at me and almost dare me to hit them, give me the ice grill like they wanted to roll on me or something. Don't you, y'all know I drive, you know, something is sitting on my lap when I drive through certain parts of the neighborhood. You know, I'm just being, or parts of the city. And that's what I'm saying. It shouldn't be like that. That thing is put away in the glove box when I'm over in the suburbs. When I ride through the hood, it has to be like that. Is it right that we should have to feel the need to you know, protect ourselves amongst our own people more so than amongst the so-called racists like Donald Sterling and Don Imus and supposedly Bill O'Reilly, you know, and those guys? I don't feel uncomfortable around those guys. And neither do you. You feel uncomfortable in your own hood around your own people. You may not want to admit it, but it's the truth. I mean, keep it real, Courtney.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true.
I mean, nobody wants to keep it real. Nobody wants to talk about the real problems in the black community. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that these moms, you know, and this is no disrespect to the single moms, but these single moms will make sure their kids have the freshest pair of Jordans, have a fresh cut, right? But will not pay for Hooked on Phonics, will not pay for a tutor, will not pay for Rosetta Stone, even though it's become an increasing need for these kids to learn a second language like these other kids. I used to work with guys, you know, from other countries who speak five languages, six languages. From other countries. That's what these Chinese, the Pakistanis, the Egyptians, these guys speak like four or five languages. These kids from the, you know, from the hood, from North Philly, from, you know, from Chicago, they speak barely one language. It's an abomination. You know? These kids don't even have not 401k, any type of college fund. You know, forget a college fund. These kids don't even have bank accounts. They don't even have savings accounts, but they got a cell phone. Am I the only person that sees a problem with that? Okay. Huge problem with that. And we need to get back to, you know, because don't get me wrong, we're going to see, that's what's special about this show. We're going to talk about Donald Sterling. We're going to talk about the Los Angeles Clippers. But that's why I told you, I really don't care about that, to be quite honest with you. And I'm sure I even have some views that would be considered controversial, just like when I spoke the truth about Trayvon. People said, oh, that Dayton guy, he's controversial. I said, why? I'm just speaking the truth, just like I'm going to speak the truth tonight. But I really don't care about Donald Sterling, to be honest with you. I'm more passionate about what's going on in our own backyards. I have more hatred towards the drug dealers selling drugs to these kids and the guy's sticking up these kids than I do towards Donald Sterling expressing his thoughts about black people in the privacy of his own home. Y'all worried about what he's saying in his own home more worried than you are about what these kids are doing right in your in the hoods, in the streets, killing each other. Like, blatantly. I mean, that's not front page news. But Donald Sterling is, that's what brings the NAACP out of hiding. That's what brings out Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and the rest of these, you know, these weirdos, you know, want to come, you know, just come out and talk about nothing just to get some camera time. It's all ridiculous. So, I mean, Courtney, can I just ask a quick question? What is wrong with our people? Can I ask that?
That's too long of an answer. But, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. What I'll say is I'll agree with you when you say that, you know, we're passionate about the wrong things because there's so much going on. And like you were saying, you know, stuff that's going on in our backyards. I don't know if you heard about it, but in Chicago recently this 14-year-old girl was killed over some Facebook beef. Like, young children are being murdered. Like, it's serious stuff going on out here, but everyone focused on Donald Sterling. I heard his name, like, multiple times throughout, like, one day. It was, like, crazy. Everybody was just talking about it. I was like, I don't even care.
Right. I could care less. The thing, it's 9:30. The things we've talked about in the last 30 minutes are more important collectively than the whole Donald Sterling situation. Every single thing we've discussed is 10 times more important than that. But you won't hear any of those things talked about anywhere but right here. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Courtney just said a 14-year-old girl was killed. I was watching something. Somebody posted on Facebook. I think somebody posted in the group. It was here from Philly. It was just a sad situation. It was just one of those random, you know, things. But it just really, and I still think about it. I'm just like, wow. Like, you know, like, sometimes you see things on the news. It's like, so-and-so was killed, so-and-so was shot in the head. And it's like, okay, you're going about your day like it's no big deal. I'm like, wow, but it is a big deal. Like, I don't know if y'all saw, it was in the group, you know, this girl was fighting. The video, she even posted the video on Facebook. She was, like, on top of the girl, beating her up, and the guy was, like, everybody was standing around watching. And then next thing you know, I think that night or the next morning, somebody, you know, came in, killed both of them. They were married, you know, 27-year-old guy, 23-year-old girl. They both, you know, shot them both. Somebody was seen running from the, you know, the house, and that, you know, that's that. They said that it was probably retaliation from that fight, and they said that they leave behind some, like, four kids. I'm just like, what kind of mom, you know, just, first of all, what kind of mom fights? You know what I mean? Like, who does that? You know, like, my mom didn't fight. I never saw my mom fighting. I never saw my aunts fighting. I don't see my wife fighting. These are real mothers. I mean, I'm going to go in real quick because we got to be honest here. Those were actual, my grandmom was a real mother. You know, my mom is a real mother. My wife is a real mother. I'm talking about good mothers. And we did a whole show on the definition of good mothers. But, And this is no disrespect, because there are a lot of other good mothers out there. Many of them are in the friends group. Many of them are listening to this show right now. But you guys know, and I know, there are a lot of horrible mothers out there. There are a lot of horrible fathers out there. And I feel really sorry for these kids, you know, who are being raised by horrible parents. Everybody wants to just walk on eggshells. Oh, no, you don't. Who are you to judge? No. We are supposed to judge. We are supposed to judge righteously. We are supposed to make sure that our houses are in order and then speak out against things that are not being done according to the word. Okay? That's what we are supposed to do as Christians. You know, we are supposed to expose sin. We are supposed to expose evil and do everything we can to fight it and just get rid of it. And that's what's not being done. I'm not afraid to call out our horrible mother. If you're sitting up there dancing to Drunken Love, you know, and the kids are in the car, you're driving with a freaking iPod plugged into your ears while your kids are driving in the back seat or riding in the back seat, guess what? That's illegal. That's dangerous. Forget the fact that you're listening to horror-ish music, but your kids, you know what I'm saying? Now people are mad at me because, like, whoa, I do that. Like, what do you mean? Courtney does that. You're like, whoa, hold on, Dada. You know? No, I'm messing with y'all. I mean, I'm just saying, though, we need to start, you know, talking about this stuff because kids are dying, kids are being abused, and then you have people, and I'm sorry, y'all, I know, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I go off on tangents, but this is important. This is Keeping Our Fridays, and y'all know I'm going to keep it real, man. We weren't live since, what, I don't even know. Courtney, when was the last time we were live?
I have no idea. This has been a while.
Well, let's see. Today's Friday. Was it this week? Was it Monday? I think it was, no, Monday. Monday we were live. Advice Mondays. But, yeah. And so, but that was a long time ago, and so much has happened since then. But, yeah, you know, kids are dying. And the funny thing is kids are dying, kids are being abused and mistreated and not raised properly. But then when people post videos, there's a whole big thing. And I was just looking, I was like, wow, people really are upset about this. Y'all, you saw the video of the, I don't know, you know, I think she was a Haitian woman or some type of foreign woman was disciplining her daughter, you know, who was on, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard, man. The daughter is twerking, right? The daughter is being a hoe, okay? The daughter is being a freak, like so many of these little freaks out here. And nobody says anything about it. Everybody acts like it's no big deal. But we have a mother or whoever steps up and actually confronts her and says, you know what, you're not going to be a freak. A couple years ago it was the dad. He was catching flack for beating his daughters, for being hoes. The mom beating her daughter for being a hoe. And everybody wants to criticize. I think the dad actually was arrested, you know, for you know, child abuse. The mom, everybody's talking about the mom. I'm like, yo, what are y'all talking about? You know what I'm saying? This is what needs to happen when kids want to be hoes, when these girls want to be freaks, when they want to post pictures of themselves and videos of themselves twerking, when they want to send naked booty shots and cleavage shots to these guys who just want to smash, when these dudes, these little boys want to act like grown men, they need their butts beat. I'm not talking about being put on timeout. I'm talking about they need to be spanked. They need to be beaten. They need, you know what I'm saying? That is okay. Don't you guys understand that that's okay? These kids are not going to die. The Bible even says just that, okay? They're not going to die. They're not going to be permanently disfigured if you put a leather belt to their backside. Courtney got it. I got it. My brother's got it. My sister got it. We all turned out fine. Fine. These are things that kids need. They need discipline. I don't beat my daughter. I say all that, but I don't see myself ever beating my daughter. But you see what I'm saying? But that's a whole other point. You know, but hopefully if it needs to happen, then it'll happen. But you see what I'm saying? It's all about raising these kids right, telling them, look, this is how you are supposed to act. And if you do not act this way, this is what will happen. These kids have no respect. You see what I'm saying? They have no respect. And nowadays, the moment where they, you know, when they encounter authority, then they try to be all tough because they never had that humility instilled in them for authority. They never had that respect instilled. So it's just like, oh, yeah, who you think you're talking to? Da, 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 I'll shoot you. But you don't act that way. These kids don't act that way when they were brought up the right way. So all these little bastards out here, I mean that literally and figuratively, these bastards, you know, who carrying guns that nobody wants to talk about, selling drugs, sticking people up, they are products of horrible parents. Excuse me, horrible parents. And that's what needs to change. We need to have a parenting 101 class. We need to have some type of, I mean, which is all, you know, obviously that's not going to happen. But we need something, man. We need these women to stop letting these niggas hit it raw, producing more ignorant bastards. And that's the actual term for children who are growing up with no father because the dad didn't want their mom. And the mom is now raising the child alone. Kids growing up resenting their mom, resenting their father. No respect for mom. No hate their dad. No respect for mom because she allowed herself to be smashed off on a Friday night. Some people are saying, whoa, Dadon, you're going in. Whoa, Dadon, you're being a little harsh. Well, you need somebody to be harsh. These fathers need to be harsh. I'm not saying anything that these dads shouldn't have been said to you women out there. You know, this is, I'm just picking up where Bill Cosby left off. They kicked him out of Hollywood because he spoke the truth about the black community. You know, somebody else needs to step up and say, hey, look, you know, Bill O'Reilly is one of the only people on a, not one of, the only person on a national level who actually has the balls to step up and say, look, you know, these kids are seeing, you know, this type of behavior, and it's turning them into, you know, horrible examples of you know, horrible members of society. It's turning these little girls into hoes. It's turning these dudes, you know, into pimps. And, you know, and how, you know, if you are on that level, you know, where you have millions of fans, not saying you have to be this, you know, role model and spokesperson for how to be a parent, but you should at least care about who your audience is. That's all, you know, that's all he's saying. That's all I've been saying for the last 10 years. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bill O'Reilly does listen to this show, because he was saying everything I've been saying for years. But it's glad to hear that, and it's just sad. We did a whole show on, I rebroadcast the other day, when he talked about her the first time, and he did a recent, you know, talked about it again. But I hope he keeps talking about her on a national level so people can hear, you know, what needs to be said. You know, people say, and I'll just be honest with you. I'm sure this will be considered controversial, but I don't care. But to be real with you guys, I've actually never heard Bill O'Reilly say anything racist. You know, something that I would consider racist. And I, you know what I'm saying? And I don't watch him on a regular basis. I'm not saying he never has. But I'm saying me personally, I've never heard him say anything racist. I've heard him criticize President Obama. I've heard him criticize Barry Sotero, which nobody even knows who that is. That's all. You know what I'm saying? But it's like when anybody talks about the black community who isn't black, oh, they're racist. If anybody talks about or criticizes the first black president, oh, then they're racist. Forget what he's actually saying. Forget, you know, whether it's true or valid or not. But, oh, he's just racist. And I encourage anyone, and this, you know, this is an open, you know, forum. This is Keeping It Real Fridays. If you guys are listening, you're like, whoa, you know, Dadon, you know, I actually have heard Bill O'Reilly say, hey, let me know. Call in 646-200-0366. If he has said something racist, let me know what was said, and we can talk about it. But me personally, I've never heard him say anything racist. Like when the love, like Donald Sterling, which we're going to talk about, obviously he's a racist. You know what I'm saying? He made it known. Courtney, have you ever heard Bill O'Reilly say anything racist on that level or on any level?
No, not at all. Never ever heard it. It was just like everyone just wanted, I shouldn't say everyone, black people just wanted to hate him for no reason.
Right, and I'm not being like argumentative. Like, I'm asking for informational purposes. You know what I'm saying? Because I do reference him, and I do, you know, talk about some of the things that he says that I do agree with. But if he says some things that, you know, are offensive to black people, to our people, my people, I want to know. Because all these, you guys know, a lot of people listen to my show. You guys are out there, and if so, if anyone has heard Bill O'Reilly, if you don't want to call in, you can call in. But if you don't want to call in, you just want to email it to me privately. You want to inbox it to me on Facebook. Hey, look, Dadon, here's a link that you know might be considered racist. Let me know. Send it to me, just privately, anonymously, whatever. And then I'll talk about it, and I will stand corrected, or I'll say, okay, well, this is what was said, and we can talk about that. But we need to, as a community, you know, just stop. You know, it's everything, we have issues. And just because someone talks about those issues, white or black or whoever, that does not make them racist. So, all right, let's keep it moving, though. What's, I see a call on the line. What's this, 313 area code? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I was just listening to this show. I just kind of tuned in. I didn't really know what the subject is. This is one of my favorite shows when I'm just chilling, trying to stay out of trouble.
Okay, good. No, it's good to, let me ask you real quick. When you say trying to stay out of trouble, what do you mean by that?
You know, just keeping myself busy, like not doing crazy things. You have too much time on your hands. It's like,
I mean, like
know,
what? Like go smoke some crack or something? I mean, like what kind of crazy
thing? No, I don't smoke crack. It's just, you know, I'm a student and stuff, and I just like to stay focused. That's all.
No, I'm messing with you. No, I appreciate. No, I appreciate. Wait, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Detroit.
Detroit. No, no, good. Good. It's good to have you here. Good to continue listening. You know, and that's the thing. We're not really talking about it. Well, we're talking about stuff, but you know, it's just a little bit of everything, man. You know, and that's what this show is. People just. This is that show. You guys know that, right? This is that show where you listen to, where you on a Friday night or any night for that matter, where you're trying to stay out of trouble. I was doing a counseling session today, and I told somebody, I said, you know, if you're not listening to the show, then I know you're doing something you don't need to be doing. You're in some trouble. I you know, who I'm talking about knows exactly what I'm talking about. But that's how it goes. If you're not, I mean, keep it real, guys. Friday night, like she just said, if she's a student, she's one of our younger listeners in school. I know when I was in school on a Friday night, I was, what time is it, 9:47? I was probably waking up from a nap, about to get showered up, probably grab something to eat, probably grab something to drink, get ready to, you know, go meet up with the homies for a little bit of a pregame of some sort, you know, hit the club, you know, after the club. It's the after party. After the after party, it's the diner with someone you just met, trying to buy you a meal. Nope. You get a drink. You know, you get a order of fries at the diner. You know, no actual. You know, just being a. Then it's back to the crib. That was the Friday night routine. That was what my definition of getting into trouble was. And that's what the caller's definition of getting into trouble was, most likely. Back in the day, that was Courtney's definition of getting into trouble. And many of you, or I should say many of you not listening, that's your definition. Because those of you who are listening, you're doing the right thing. You're trying to stay on the right track, and I commend you for that. But those people who aren't listening, who are going to check out the archives tomorrow because they were out getting into trouble, and we don't judge. It is what it is. If you fall, you fall. But it's just all about getting back up. But you don't have to fall because we're on 7 nights a week. Right, Courtney?
Right.
I'm tripping tonight, man. I'm tripping. They say, somebody just text me, inbox me and say, you tripping, Dana. I say, yep, I'm tripping. No, because it's honest. What else can we talk about, though? But no, let me real quick, just going back for a second, about the young girl getting beat. If y'all saw the video, let me just be clear, I had no problem with that video whatsoever other than the fact that the mom was hitting the young woman in the face. That's the only thing that I had a problem with. She was just, like, real reckless with it. You know, my dad, you know, my mom, they were like surgeons with that belt, man. You know, they would just tag you, you know, wherever you didn't try to protect yourself. You know, if you tried to cover up, it was like, whoa, whoa, bam, other leg or the ankle. You cover up the ankle, they get you on the thigh. You cover the thigh, they hit, you know what I'm saying, on the butt. So, yeah, they were just like, you know, real precision with it. But she was just hitting her in the face and the shoulders and the chin and the mouth. I'm like, yo, that's like her face. But that's the only thing I had an issue with. I mean, did you think that was over the top, Courtney?
I didn't think it was. I didn't at all. Because I know, you know, some people were like, oh, well, she shouldn't have got hit. But I believe that she should have. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, I got spanked as a child like most people did. And I don't look at it as abuse because, to me, that's how you learn. Like, when you get those real, real bad whoopings, it's like, you know, I'm never going to do this again because you just scared the life out of me. So I'm not going to do that ever again. So I didn't see anything wrong with it.
I didn't either, but... You know, hey, some people, if you don't, you know, if you didn't get, if you're not used to getting beat, you know, then you probably would have a problem with it. But, I mean, what I will say is this, and this is no disrespect to anyone, but, I mean, when you look at, you show me someone, you know, who was never disciplined in that way, I can almost guarantee you'll find someone who is not where they would like to be in life. Whether that's, you know, without love, whether that's being a single mom, whether that's having had their fair share of, you know, heartbreaks and, you know, deadbeat, you know, dudes, you know, trying to smash or whatever, you know. And I mean, and that's just being honest. That's just me, you know, knowing how it is out here. But when you typically, like, look at my wife was disciplined, you know, by her mom, by her father, and, you know, she's made some mistakes, but overall, you know, she's where she wants to be. She turned out okay. You know, me personally, I turned out okay. You know, and that's, you know, and many of you, Courtney, you know, same thing, turned out okay overall. And that's what happens when a parent loves their child. They discipline them, you know, for their own safe, for their own well-being. But yeah, let's keep it moving though. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about tonight was this whole, should we even do it? I mean, I guess we should talk about this whole Donald Sterling situation, you know, at some point, you know, just for the sake of doing it, because everybody's talking about it, and, you know, his ugly face is on the flyer. But what did you think about it, Courtney? We'll start that way. I mean, he's evidently, he was recorded by his girlfriend saying all this stuff. She was obviously trying to set him up, put him out there. You know, he got caught up saying some things. What is your take on it?
My whole take on it is, I mean, it really didn't bother me, but I just looked at it like, okay, well, what's new? Okay, he's racist, but that's not anything new. And I think a lot of people are looking at it like this is just news to them that there are people out there that are racist and don't like black people. And so, I mean, it didn't bother me, I guess, is what I'll say about it. To me, I'll be honest, I really feel like it was more so a distraction, because who knows what was going on behind the scenes, like in our government or wherever else, while this whole thing was going on.
It's funny, man. Like, when you understand, that's a good point, Courtney. When you understand, and I'm not even saying that this is necessarily what happened, you know, but I'm just saying, that would not be, like, for example, I don't know if you guys remember, there's a lot that goes into this stuff. I mean, like, the whole boxing industry is rigged. It's all for profit. Football is rigged. Basketball is rigged. You know, just very similar to how wrestling is fake. I should say scripted. You know, you don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but you know what the end result is going to be. That's how these elections are. That's how, you know, the Super Bowl is. You know, that's how the music industry is. Everything is scripted. And, you know, that this is nothing different. So, and I'm not saying that this is a particular example of that, but I'm saying that it could very well be. And, you know what I'm saying? And when you look at, like, for example, when the Lakers, it was clear that the Miami Heat were, and we did a whole show on this, couple years ago, but the Miami Heat were obviously supposed to win the championship that year. You look at when Chris Paul was supposed to be traded to the Lakers. It was like a three-team, you know, deal, and I think it was supposed to send, but I forget how it would have ended up, but long story short, it would have been like Kobe Bryant. I think at that time Andrew Bynum was still there. It would have been Chris, but who cares who else was there? It would have been Kobe Bryant playing with Chris Paul, which would have basically guaranteed they would have won the championship that year. The deal was done. David Stern steps in, and this is unprecedented. Has never happened before. He just steps in and vetoes the trade. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, since when does that happen? If you guys know about sports, that's never happened before. And people say, well, you know, what happened? I thought Chris Paul, the deal was done. All he had to do was pass the physical. Well, David Stern blocked the deal. Since when, Courtney, does the NBA commissioner just step in and just stop a trade just to do it and then give no explanation as to why?
Never.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, that's just a, you know, one example. So who knows what is, you know, the real reason behind who, I mean, see, there have been times that stuff like this has happened where that people will create a scandal to get someone out of a position of power. You know what I mean? Like, who, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, people, I'm not saying this happened, but I'm saying when you understand how the industry works, whether it's entertainment, politics, you should know that nothing like that is far-fetched. People say, hey, I mean, if you guys watch TV, watch Scandal or, what, you know, whatever show, you can see exactly how realistic stuff like this could happen. You know, let's say Oprah Winfrey is decided she wants to own the Clippers, and this is hypothetical, but okay, so how do we get rid of this guy? Well, let's set him up. Hey, we approach you secretly. You know what? We'll pay you $2 million to tape record these, you know, get a certain amount of, you know what I'm saying? Then we'll leak them to the media, and then we'll get them out of here like that. You know, that way we'll open it up so that Jay-Z can ultimately own the Clippers, so that Diddy can ultimately own the Clippers. That's how we'll, you know what I'm saying? Like, anyone who thinks that that little scenario is far-fetched or, you know, could not happen, is crazy and has is extremely naive about how the industry works. Now, again, I'm not saying that's the case at all. He could very well maybe a racist, and I'm sure he is. But who's to say that you know, he didn't get that little push? Who's to say somebody wasn't in her ear and got her to record that conversation? You see what I'm saying? Stuff like that on that level doesn't just happen by chance. Somebody was behind that happening. Okay, that's what you guys have to realize. But let's talk about it for what it is, for what we saw. Here's my issue with the thing. Okay, and I know this may be somewhat controversial or a different view than most people might have. But for me, I mean, we live in America, and this is where I don't really agree with it. You know, I put it like this. It's a weird situation because I feel like this. When you're familiar with the Constitution, all right, we do have the First Amendment, okay? We are able to have freedom of speech, all right? We are able to speak about, like, if I want to criticize the president, if I want to talk about religion, if I want to, you know, speak about anything, I can do that. I'm a journalist. I'm a broadcaster. I'm a talk show. I can do a show on anything that I want to talk about. And I'm protected by, you know, the First Amendment. So I don't have to like you, Courtney, or if I have a problem with white people or I have a problem with Asian people, you can say, okay, Dadon is a racist. Or, I mean, I mean, you can just look. Evidently, Bill O'Reilly's a racist, you know, according to the black community. You know, I mean, how many other racists are out there? Newt Gingrich, John McCain. I mean, half these old white dudes are racist. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they grew up at that time. I mean, so for me, you know, that's nothing new. Now, if you disrespect someone, or you, like, if I'm an employee, if I work for you, Courtney, and, you know, I disrespect you and, you know, cuss you out and call you, you know, use racial slurs, then that would be grounds for termination because I disrespected you. But for me, and I'm someone who actually, because I know there are a lot of ignorant people out there who are talking about this subject, just like the Trayvon Martin situation, who are totally ignorant to the actual facts of the case, you know, and didn't even bother to watch the trial on Trayvon or actually bother to listen to, you know, the audio of him. But I actually sat there, not for the 2-minute clip, but for about 20 minutes of audio that, you know, was heard. And I actually heard it. For me, and I'm just being honest, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, for me, I didn't hear anything that personally offended me as a black man, okay? I didn't. Did I hear a racist speaking? Yes, I did, okay? But for me, that's his, You know what I'm saying? Like, that's his right. Now, if he would have been like, F Magic Johnson, that black nigga, I can't stand him, he's an ugly nigga, like, you know, like, that would be something totally different. Like, you're disrespecting people, you know, and calling them out of their names, you know, using racial slurs, then that would be, for me, would be totally different. But when you just express how you feel, like, if I don't like you, Courtney, I don't have to like you. Or if I just don't like white people, or I just don't like Muslims, that's, you know, you can call me whatever you want to. You can say, okay, well, you're this and that, you know. But, for example, I don't, me based on the word, we're, you know, homosexuality is obviously, you know, an abomination, according to God. So if I speak out against that, a lot of people who support homosexuality may, oh, Dayton, you're, you know what I'm saying, you're this or that. But those are my views. I'm not, now I'm not disrespecting those people. Just like he wasn't disrespect, now he was saying, look, I don't want to be around them. I don't want you around them. I don't want you flaunting them. You know, don't bring them to the games. You know, why do you have to be on Instagram with them? I mean, me personally, do I agree with that? Of course not. That's racist. That's discriminatory. But for me, like right now, I'm in the privacy of my own home. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, you know, now if he would have been at the board meetings, if he would have been at the games, if he would have been, you know, at a training camp or, you know, somewhere, I don't know, conducting NBA business, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's just my personal views, but I don't think that someone, you know, white, black, racist, non-racist, you know, gay, straight, whoever, should be, I'll say should not. Now, you can look at him and view how you want to view him, however you want to view him. But as far as, you know, penalizing someone like that, fining someone, you know, I mean, I don't know. Now, that, you know, that's where it's a little bit, you know, iffy for me. What I, from my understanding, the NBA has a tolerance policy, you know, towards, you know, races and, you know, gays and all that crap. So he, according to their standards, he violated that, you know, that policy. So that was the foundation in which his lifetime ban was exercised. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over. I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't give, you know, I could care less about him because he is a racist and he doesn't care about me, so I definitely don't care about him. But I'm just saying, I don't know, because at that point, where do you draw the line? You know, Courtney, I mean, should someone be able to come into your home and penalize you for expressing your personal views in the privacy of your own home? I don't know. Do you think that, is that right to you?
No, because that would be my opinion, and it would be in my own space. So that's why I didn't really see the big deal about it, like, on the level that everyone was making it.
Right, because the thing with for me, and like I was watching an interview with Floyd Mayweather, and he's, I guess, in the running to place a bid on the Clippers. And they asked him, they said, well, you know, how do you feel about, you know, Donald Sterling and the situation? He said, well, look, he said, me personally, you know, he never treated me with anything but respect. You know, he never disrespected me. I never had a problem with him. We never had any words. He's, you know, he said, I didn't know he was a racist. You know, he was always cool to me. And I've actually heard a number, they're not really publicizing this, but I heard a number of interviews and seen a number of quotes from people who've had interactions with him who've never had a problem. So my thing is this. If you're a racist, I mean, we all interact with racists every single day. But what they do is they hide their racism, they hide their true feelings so that, you know, they respect you at least to your face. Like, you don't have to like me, but you're not going to disrespect me to my face either. You're not going to call me a nigger to my face. You may call me a nigger when I leave. You may not like me. You may talk about me behind my back. But when you see me, you treat me with respect. You shake my hand, and that's what it is. You want to be fake, you be fake. But you're at least going to be respectful. And from what I understand, that's what he did, which is no different from what half these white people do, these racists do. They shake your hand, they smile. Your boss, you think your boss likes you? You think they wanted to give you that raise? You think they really, you know, are happy that you're there? Half these guys are racist out here. They don't really like you. They smile. Oh, hey, how was your weekend? Where are you going on vacation? Oh, yeah, how the kid? They don't care about that. They will fire you in a second. And half the time, I already got files on y'all. You know, next thing you know, you're getting fired. You know, you're getting pulled into the office. They pull out a stack of files on you. You're like, whoa, where'd all this come from? Well, yeah, you know, we've been watching. Wait, what do you mean? We were just at the office party busting it up. Yeah, well, you know, sorry, but, yeah, we've I had to write you up. Well, you didn't tell me you wrote me up, but, oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry, I wrote you up. You know what I mean? So, you know, unfortunately, we got to let you go. Like, well, I didn't get a warning? No, well, yeah, this is your warning, your final warning. You know what I'm saying? It's a wrap. Why are you laughing, Cornette? Has that happened to you?
No, not to me, but it does happen to some people I've known.
Why not? Guess what? I'm one of them. That's what I'm saying. I've been fired from multiple jobs. That's one of the reasons why I did. Not because I'm a slacker or not because I'm – I mean, I was that guy, you know, who would have perfect attendance and, you know, show up to the office, parties, laugh at their stupid jokes. Oh, yeah, how are the kids, Bob? Oh, yeah, the kids are good. Oh, yeah, how's the girlfriend? Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like this and that. But next thing you know, when you're number one in the region, number one in this, you got X amount of sales, you know, you start making them uncomfortable. They look at you and they determine you're not just one of those house niggers, right? You actually have an opinion. You actually are going to express yourself. You can't be controlled. Well, guess what? That's why we did this show on 12 Years a Slave, Being a Black Man in White America. We talked about that. They don't like that. Black women have it a little bit different, a little bit easier. But when you are that black man where, you know, you look that white man in the eye and he sees fear, he's intimidated, that's when they start plotting. That's when they start hating. That's when that file starts getting a little thicker and thicker and thicker. And they won't even tell you. Then you do one little thing. We're gonna have to go ahead. And, at this point, the decision. y'all know whatever terminology it is. You know what I mean? It just.
That's funny. What did I say? We're no longer in need of your services. Some crap like that.
I've heard that. At this time, we're going to have to go ahead and terminate your employment with us. Like, he's like, okay. I'm like, all right, that's what's up. Like, and then they look at you. I look around in the eye like, all right, you know, that's, what you think, I'm supposed to cry? What you think I'm a, all this means I go get unemployment for 2 years, you know, making the same amount, if not more, and chilling, you know. But see, that's what people don't. You know, they don't want to talk about it. No one's been fired here. You know, everyone's, you know, they've had their jobs for their whole lives. No one's ever been called into the office, gotten a pink slip. Everybody, like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Keep it honest. Guys will be so much happier with your lives once you start being real. There's no, get rid of embarrassment. It's impossible for me to be embarrassed. It's impossible for me to be uncomfortable. It's just like when you're confident in God and you're confident in who you are, nothing matters. No, I mean, nothing, you know, oh, yeah, I've been fired. Okay, Dayton's been fired. Whoop-de-doo. You know? I guess what? I run a corporation now. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's all that is. You know? So as far as racism goes, though, it's everywhere. It's literally everywhere. And, you know, is Donald Sterling any different from your boss? You know, probably not. Maybe, but probably not. But here's the real issue that I have with it, though. You know, I know a lot of people who are going down to Miami this summer. I know a lot of people are going to South Beach. You know, they're hitting the clubs. They're going on vacation. How's that boycott going? People say, what boycott? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah. I'm talking about the boycott that everybody said they were going to do when Zimmerman was found not guilty. Remember that, Courtney?
Yeah, vaguely. But yeah.
Right, vaguely. You know, that's because nobody really cares, because it's all BS. The black community comes out around issues that affect them, but it, like we talked about earlier, ignore issues that, you know, are most important, that affect us as a whole. And, you know, so one of the things I said was, you know, about that, I said, well, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much of the black community will actually still support the Clippers. You know, I know I saw those stands. You know, they were pretty full. You know, the bleachers in the arena. I mean, I didn't see too many people boycotting the Clippers games. You know, I know a lot of people who actually still watch the game. So it's just like okay, I mean, maybe that's because they decided to get rid of Sterling, make him, you know, sell the team, or, you know, whatever. Who knows? But I mean, even if they didn't, you know, people would still support the Clippers. That's the craziest thing about it. So, I mean, what else? I mean, to me, it's just like you. I said online, I said, the rich and powerful racists in this country showing their true colors really shouldn't surprise anyone at this point. I said, what we need to be angered and concerned about is the black-on-black crime plaguing inner cities around the country. You can't be mad at racist white people when we hate, excuse me, racist white people when they hate us, when we hate ourselves. I mean, isn't that really what's going on? You know, I mean, we have a serious problem, you know, towards our health, towards ourselves. I was in the bank, and you guys know that was my career prior to, you know, the talk show and the counseling. I spent a great deal of years in banking, and you know, I was a branch manager. I was everything but a teller, you know, a financial specialist, you know, a loan servicer, a mortgage. And I'm like, I did all that, a credit specialist. So I held a number of different positions in banking. And, you know, I went into the bank. I had to, you know, I buy and sell cars and things like that. You know, you guys need a car in the Philly area, come see me. But so I had to go. It was like, I think this was Tuesday. I was in the bank, and I had to take out, you know, withdraw a large sum of money. And you know, and I know how it is. I went to this one, which I should have known, but I went to, I want to phrase this the right way. I went to a regular branch, not an in-store branch. You know, like the branches inside the supermarket, that's called an in-store branch. I didn't go there because, you know, I know for a fact they only have a certain amount of money that they keep in those branches. And even when they do have it, they're not able to give you more than, I think, like 1,500 at a time. So I knew not to go there, but I went to an actual retail branch, as they're called, and at PNC Bank, you know, and that's what it was. And so, yeah, I said I'd like to take out. I think it was like $3,000. It wasn't like $10,000. It wasn't $20,000. But I said, you know, I'd like to take out $3,000. So she looked at me, and I was in a sweatpants and a hoodie and had a fitted on. And, you know, so she's like, looked at me. And this is an actual branch. I'm like, she said, well, we ain't got that much. I say, well, you ain't got that much. I mean, what do you mean by that? She's like, no, you got to go to another branch. I said, well, what's wrong with this branch? She said, we just don't have that much. I said, you don't have $3,000 in a whole bank? Now, mind you, I know for a fact that they keep more because I know the limits. I know what these banks have and what they don't have. So she definitely had it, but it was just a matter of her not feeling comfortable giving it to someone who looked like me. And this was a black woman, mind you. This, I hope you guys realize, this was not a white woman. I was in the hood, okay? But it was a retail branch just like any other branch. They had the same standards, same regulations, same restrictions, same policies. I said, okay, and I knew what it was because this always happens to me, but I said, okay. So I said, just out of curiosity, if I would have called, would that have been different? She said, oh, well, yeah, we could have ordered it, but then it wouldn't have been here until the 24 hours. I just looked at her. I wanted to say, yo, you're actually full of crap, but whatever. So I said, well, can you call, you know, another branch? I said, what would be the closest branch where I could actually, you know, take out this money? I need to take this money out, you know, right now. She's like, well, I don't really know, but you don't, I mean, don't you, this is, I started to be like, can I speak to you? She was the teller manager or just the teller. I think she was the teller supervisor. But do you see how ignorant we can be? And how, so what did I do? What do you think I did in that situation, Courtney?
Did you leave?
Oh, yeah, I left. But where did I go?
To the one that was closest, the next branch closest to
no.
that one?
No, I didn't go to the one that was closest. I went to the white one. In fact, I drove out of my way to go to a predominantly white one. Which is, do you guys see what I'm, the problem with that? The fact that I'm in the hood, in my hood, I don't live in the hood, but you guys get my point, you know, and I was at the branch closest to me. So I was treated like crap, solely because of my appearance, you know, and then treated ignorantly. So I had to drive to the white neighborhood. Wouldn't you know, didn't have to call in advance, was in and out, you know, in 5 minutes. No, you know what I'm saying? Oh, one form of ID, gave her my ID, gave her my debit card, kept it moving. Boom. No problems. Why is it that you can get better service in the white neighborhoods than you can get from your own people?
That's crazy, but that's really how it is. That's as poor customer service, it seems like.
Poor customer service would be a mild way of putting it. It was reverse racism, discrimination. That's all it was. Because I bet you, and the funny thing is, a lot of these women, I shouldn't say women, but a lot of these tellers who usually are women, they are extra friendly to the white customers. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen my own tellers. When I was a branch manager, I would see my own tellers discriminating against black customers and treating the white customers extra good, not giving them a hassle. Which, and I'll say this, you know, but, you know, partially in their defense, that because you see so much of the ignorance from the black people, in the black community, you see so much more fraud, so much more check scams and schemes and plots. That is so common in the black community. I saw it for 10 years. So anyone who wants to debate that, you know, good luck. But, you know, typically that's where you see those types of things going down. And, you know, so I think a lot of that is fear on their part of cashing a check they shouldn't cash, making a withdrawal that comes back to bite them. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, it's still discriminatory nonetheless. So, you know, it is what it is. So there's that. What else, man? What else do we? So, I mean, do we need to say anything else about, I mean, Donald Sterling here? I mean, have we exhausted that? Can we move on to something else?
Yes, let's move on.
one last thing about that I will say. You know, I was watching Scandal a couple weeks ago. I mean, here's the funny thing about it. People will say, I don't like this and I don't like that, or this is racist. But it's like you support the very things that God hates. You know, like you'll watch Scandal solely and specifically because you want to see Olivia Pope get smashed off by a white man. You know, I mean, really, that turns you on. You like that. That's your fantasy. To after being dogged and dogged and dogged for years of, you know, by black men, you have a fantasy of living happily ever after by white men because they just treat, you know, black women better. Guess what? No, they don't. Don't let Shonda Rhimes deceive you into thinking that foolishness, because it's all BS. I was watching it. Y'all saw it. Talking about, I mean, this is one of the most ridiculous things, and the fellas know this. If y'all watched the show, you saw Fitz professing his love. Now, this is Olivia, who is a straight-up hoe, one of the biggest hoes in the history of television, having sex with Fitz, then leaving him alone, then going to have sex with his best friend from back in the day. The most hoish thing a woman can do, she does that. And then here you still have Fitz professing his love for Olivia, talking about some, I miss you. you know I miss you, right? It really bothers me that you're letting my best friend smash it, you know, hit it from the back all crazy, but, you know, but I miss you. Okay, and she's like, you know, playing him and fleeing him off. Olivia, I miss you. Like, yo, just shut up. You know, like, yeah, I know after we hang up, you're going to go give my buddy some, you know what I'm saying, some good sex. But, ladies, I'm telling you, I'm as real as they come. I've had some of the realest conversations out there. Men do not talk like that, okay? Only men like Steve Harvey and Tyler Perry and these other guys out here on the DL talk like that. You know, real men who are, you know what I'm saying, who just real men, you're not going to chase women, period. Okay, you're not going to be, oh, my gosh, I miss you. Oh, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, and certainly not going to be chasing a woman who you know is having sex with anyone, let alone your best friend. I mean, you know that, right, Courtney? I mean, hopefully you guys out there know that. But that is, you can tell that's written by a black woman, because no man, no black man, no real man would ever talk like that. I'm surprised Tyler Perry didn't write that. But, I mean, you know that now, by now, right?
Yeah, I do. But at the same time, that's a lot of women's fantasies, is to have two men fighting over them.
Hey, ladies, please, 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 please don't think. And this is not, I mean, I know that there are a lot of beautiful women out there, and I'm sure you've over the years come to hear and even think for yourselves that, you know, your skills in the bedroom give you some type of advantage, you know, in whatever situation, you know, but, you know, it's just not a factor, okay? These men are not impressed. They're just not. And that's what it is. That's, like Courtney said, it's a fantasy to have two men fighting over you, but what would really happen in real life, and I was telling a young woman as we were debating, she's like, yeah, do you watch Scandal? I'm like, well, you know, not really, but, you know, sometimes it's on and I see. She's like, you don't watch it? I'm like, no, I don't watch it. She's like, well, you don't like Olivia Pope? I'm like, no, I don't really care for her. So why not? I'm like, well, because she's a hoe. I mean, she has sex. She's in an active relationship with two different men, having sex with both of these men, and just has no remorse whatsoever about it. I mean, that's, to me, the epitome of hoish behavior. You know, she has two men fighting over it. That's hoish behavior. She's like, what? Well, I like it. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. That's what's up. I'm like, all right, what do you want me to say? I mean, but that's my point. It's a woman show for women, and you know, it is what it is. So there's that about Scandal. You know, season finale last week. You know, whoop-de-doo. I don't know what y'all think. I want to just, you know, put something out there. If you like Scandal, just even a little bit, like if you even like it, I'm going to challenge you to watch on Monday night the return of the greatest show in the history of television. That would be 24. And I'm telling y'all right now, Ask State on Advice Mondays will be a rerun, okay? We will not be live on Monday night. And guess what? We won't be live on Monday night until 24 is back off, okay? But we will come back, you know, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever. But I'm just telling you, you see what I'm saying? Like, 24 is back. Jack Bauer is back. Courtney knows nothing about 24. Are you going to finally see, I've been telling you about this show for years. Are you going to embrace it?
Eventually, but I'm still on another show. I'm on another show right now. I'm watching Alias. So once I'm done with that, yes.
Another good show, don't get me wrong. Another good show. Interestingly enough, a good show that Scandal blatantly copied off of. Courtney, you'll see what I'm talking about. What season are you on?
I'm in the middle of season two.
What the heck? Only season two? It's like six seasons. Man, you'll be watching that show forever. But we talked about this several months ago, but I don't know if y'all know the whole situation with Olivia Pope and her mom, everybody thinking she was good, and her being held captive, then turns out she was bad. That was a blatant copy right off of Alias, and the storyline that Jennifer Garner, you know, had, you know, with her mom and, you know, her father, and her father being like a double agent, the Olivia Pope's father being, it's the same exact story, and I'm just like, wow. This is how original y'all can be. Like, it's you blatantly copied a storyline of a show that's 10 times better anyway. But that's neither here nor there. I want to do some advice questions tonight. Got a couple of Ask Daydon advice questions that were sent to me from you guys, so we want to get into that a little bit later. One of the things, though, that obviously we have to talk about is the foolishness surrounding the Jays. What is it? The On the Run Tour? If I recall correctly, the On the Run Tour, which is what Jay-Z and Beyonce are calling their tour, promoting their respective albums. I mean, here's the thing. People say, well, how do you feel about it? I don't care about that, all right? But that's not – I mean, that's what I expect them, to be honest with you. I'm surprised they haven't done it already. I mean, you know, they're obviously in this race to be, you know, the first billionaire couple, and – Jay-Z's, you know, he wants to, you know, make more money. I mean, that's what they do. You know, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to, you know, make money. They're supposed to negatively influence the youth. I mean, they're just really playing their, you know, their part. You know, it's not anything new. But the problem is not with Jay-Z. The problem is not with Beyonce. The problem is with these parents. The problem is with these people who claim that they're Christians, you know, but do what non-Christians and even Satanists do. What do you mean by that, Daydon? What are you talking about? Well, over in 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or things in the world." Again, let me just repeat. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, that's a very deep scripture because it, and this is really one of the you know, the foundation for why a lot of people just flat out don't even read the Bible, because they're afraid of it. They're afraid that once they see the actual word of God saying them to do the overall exact opposite of what they've spent the vast majority of their life doing, that makes them uncomfortable, and it will often make them turn away from God and just kind of, you know, dive into the world. But clearly, it, you know, you can't love Beyonce, you can't love her performances, you don't want to be in that environment if you love God. That's, I mean, it basically says it right here. It says, because if you do, if you love the world, that says the love of the Father is not in him. Well, listen, I mean, that's a real fancy way of putting it. That's a real biblical way of putting it. But, I mean, what does that really say, Corey? I mean, what is God really saying here in that second part of that scripture, like about people who love the world?
Basically that you're going to hell. That's what
well,
it's
I mean,
saying.
I mean, yeah, that, I mean, that's one of, yeah, I mean, overall, yeah, that's basically what it's saying. But just on a more immediate level, it's basically saying you don't, God doesn't love you. I mean, unless I'm wrong, unless I'm interpreting it wrong, it says don't love the world or things in the world, but because if you do love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. That means you don't have the love of God. It's not in you. It's outside of you. You can't love the world and be loved by God at the same time. Everybody said, well, God loves the people. Nah, well, no, nah, he actually doesn't. Because it just says that if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. I'm ruffling a lot of feathers right now. Because a lot of people are living in unrepentant sin, thinking that, oh, okay, just because I love God, he loves me too. But according to 1 John, that's not really the case, though, is it, Courtney?
No. Not if you're living for the world.
Right, right. See, and there are a lot of restrictions. You know, yeah, God is all merciful, but at the same time, you know, his word is clear. You know, his word is very clear about, you know, the criteria for being loved and being blessed, you know, and you know, as Courtney said, making it into, you know, into heaven. So, you know, so there's that. So I guess that leads me to my next point. You know, as far as Beyonce and Jay-Z go, I said online that if getting tickets for the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert or their tour is the highlight of your year or your life for that matter, you're in serious need of one. You're in serious need of a life. You're a loser. Okay, like, think about it. If you're saying that you have nothing going on to the point where that is the highlight of your month, your week, your year, your life. Like, wow, I got tickets. It was sold out in like 5 hours, but I was one of the lucky ones. I got some tickets. You are a loser. Okay? Loser. I'm just saying, like, you're a loser. I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean
you're right now.
I mean, I'm just saying, there was no other word to describe it. Like, that's sad. You know, I'm not saying you can't have a little fun, but there's so many other things that you could get excited about other than that. It's like going to see a woman, a 35-year-old woman, gyrating like she's 21. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't think I've ever seen an older-looking 35-year-old woman. I mean, she just looked disgusting to me. And maybe it's just I'm biased, but there's nothing even remotely sexy. I mean, at what point do people look at them and be like, yo, you're just old. Like, you're just old as, like, crap. I mean, you know, back in the day, it was like, all right, it's cool. You know, what was that song they had, Bonnie and Clyde or whatever? It's like, okay, whatever, you're young. I mean, you know, Jay-Z's like 35, Beyonce's like 10 years old. I mean, you know, whatever. But now Beyonce's like 35, Jay-Z is like 47. It's just like, yo, I mean, you're like let it go. She's just trying way too hard. And then the women who are following her are like the same age, living vicariously through her. You know, and it's just, it's not sexy, it's not cute. And I'm speaking to the moms out there. And Beyonce's a mom, that's the worst part about this. But when you're a mom and you have kids and you're still being a hoe, like, if you want to be a hoe, be a hoe. You know, like, that's, I mean, whatever. I mean, that's your decision. I have no problem with that. That's your decision. But when I have a problem with it is when you subject children to that environment where they are, you know, forced to witness your hoish behaviors, because I see the effect that that's going to have on them long term. That's when it becomes a real problem. You know, it's like you can't be a ho. I mean, at what point does Blue Ivy look up and say, wow, you know, my mom is on stage butt naked, my dad is palming her ass on stage, and it's just like, how can you respect something like that as a child? You know, growing up into an adult. I mean, do you see a problem with that, Courtney?
I see a huge problem. I do. And I see it almost impossible for her to respect either one of them. Because that's all that she's going to see.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, the problem with it is, and we talk about this, I'm almost getting tired of talking about it, but it's just like, you know, you have to be aware. Like, me personally, you guys know me. Like, you listen to this show, you know my views on a lot of things, you know how the show is going to go. We're going to talk about different things, but it's, you know, you know me. You know how I'm going to approach those things. So you can judge and you can determine whether or not you want it. This is something you want to listen to, based on what you know it to be, and it's you know what it is. There's no I don't hide anything. It's no surprises. You know how I feel about just about it. At the end of this show, you will be crystal clear how Dadon Tolbert feels about this subject or whatever subject it is. Like it or hate it or whatever, you will know one way or the other. Whereas, with Beyonce and even Jay-Z, there's a lot of confusion. On one hand, some people view Jay-Z as a politician now. He's thrown himself into the political arena, endorsing Barack Obama, doing commercials for him, like aligning himself politically. A lot of people look at him as, an upstanding member of society. Beyonce, many people, many kids, many parents view her as a role model. A lot of people say, well, that's not her job. It doesn't matter if it's her job. That's how she presents herself. And if you present yourself a certain way, then there will be people who will embrace that. I mean, until you do something to, make it so they don't embrace it. So, I mean, that's your responsibility. If you know that there are little kids watching you gyrating on stage half naked and they are going to adopt those behaviors, then, I mean, that's your responsibility to be responsible for that, whether you want to be or not. Now, all of this would be nice. I mean, we can talk about it from that perspective, as if it's all coincidental, as if it's not planned, as if it's not deliberate. But hopefully you guys know by now that it is very deliberate and it is very planned and it is a blatant and clear attack on our youth. That's the worst part about it. Beyonce is an agent being used by both the powers that be and ultimately by Satan to negatively influence everyone who comes in contact with her. Unfortunately, I mean, if she definitely ain't being led by God. So if she ain't being led by God, then, you guys can do the math. A lot of people say, well, who are you to say that Beyonce is being led by Satan? What does the word say? I mean, you just go back to the word, I mean, it's very clear to be able to tell if somebody's being led by God or not. And if they're not being led by God, there's only one other person that can be leading them. You're not living for God. You're living for Satan. So, and I would just encourage everyone to just make that decision, make that choice as far as, who are you living for? Are you living in the Word? And we did that show a couple of months ago, living in the Word or the world. If you're living in the world, then God doesn't love you. What does it say, Courtney? The love of God is not in you? That sounds a lot harsher. When you say, the love of God is not in you. Well, it's like, okay, all right, whatever. That's no big deal. That's just the Bible. But then when you say God doesn't love you, that sounds a little bit more harsh, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does.
People don't like to hear that. They just want to hear, the love of God is not in you. You can't. Don't love the things of the world. But that doesn't mean Beyonce. That's talking about somebody else. Nope, guys, it is actually talking about, the On the Run tour. But, yeah, so there's that. One of the things that I said, though, the funny thing, just kind of, ironic, is that, people will go to church. People will, not help others. People won't donate to charities. People won't really do anything. I said they'll barely put $5 in the offering plate. They will talk about, and really in many cases, use as their main, reasoning for not even going to church or tithing or giving or just going to church at all because, I don't know where my money is going. I ain't giving money so that pastor can be driving a Benz. Well, a Benz? What are you talking about? I just got a Benz like for $1,000 like the other day. Like whoopty, it's a Benz. Like you see what I'm saying? It's just neither here nor there. You see what I'm saying? But you won't put it into your pastor's pocket or give it to the upkeep of the church. But you'll give it to Beyonce and Jay-Z so they can profit, $200 million, $100 million for a tour? That's how much this tour is going to gross them combined. Like $100 million. Tickets are like $500 a pop. $200 to $500 a pop. That's a lot of money right there. So y'all give it to them, but you have a problem giving it to your pastor. For the upkeep of the church, what do you make of that, Courtney?
I mean, it's just obvious just how caught up, you know, these fans are, just really how brainwashed they are and just how just in the world they are. And it's sad, like that money could be used for so many other things, for church or, you know, other things and more important. I feel like almost everything is more important than Beyonce and Jay-Z, to be honest, you know, but, you know, you have money that you could be using to take care of your children or rent, whatever, but you're so concerned about this concert. It's crazy.
Let me tell you something. Right. Here's the thing, though, because I don't want it to even come off as being negative. Listen, let me be crystal clear about this. I don't judge. I don't care. If you want to go to the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert, go to the Jay-Z and Beyonce concert. I don't have a problem with that. Because for me, you know, tithing and giving is private. But if you guys, you know what I'm saying? So that's between you and God. I don't care about people. You never hear me criticizing, oh, people, you do this and you do that, you give this, because I'm not into that. You know, people, I used to have an issue with people who, I still have an issue with churches who make a big deal about what you give and what you don't give, and here's a $100 line, a $500, like, that's ridiculous. And any church, any pastor who does that is ridiculous. It should not be done, period. That's private. I really don't even have a problem with people, giving with the purposes of getting some type of tax credit. And I'm not, you know, that's how you feel, but like, you know, if you do it, you do it. I don't believe in that. I don't believe you should, you know, use tithes and offerings to claim that on your taxes so you can get that back. What's the point of giving if you're going to get it back? I mean, I don't know. Is that just to me, Courtney? That defeats the purpose.
I used to be one of those people, though, but yeah. It does defeat the purpose.
Right. It totally defeats the purpose because you're not giving. You're getting it right back. You're not. It's not a sacrifice in your mind, you know God is going to give this back. You're not really giving. Like, I'll do it. Like, me personally, like, I'll be honest with you. When I give, and I have no problem saying this, I don't even put my name on the thing. You know, because, you know, I go to a big church, and you can put your name on the envelope and, you know, your ID and your address. And then, you know, at the end of the year, they send you. They keep very good records. But, I mean, that's just me personally. You know, if that's how you do it, cool. But I don't want anything back. Otherwise, I might as well not even give. So, but listen, that's all that is irrelevant. The most important part of that statement that I put online got like a lot of likes, a lot of shares, different things like that. A lot of people seem to be feeling it. The most important thing, though, is where it says, but then you'll wonder why you're not being blessed. That's the most important thing. Has nothing to do with what you give, has nothing to do with where you spend your Saturday night, you want to go to the concert, cool. But just don't sit back and wonder why your life is in shambles. Don't sit back and wonder why you're not being blessed with love. Yeah, you support Beyonce, who represents Satan, but you sit at home and pray for a husband every night. You know, you sit at home and wonder why men aren't taking you seriously. Well, how can men take you seriously when you idolize a whore? When you idolize someone who shows her crotch for a living? I don't care if you like Beyonce, but just understand what it is. From a male perspective, these men hate Beyonce. There's not a man out here who would marry Beyonce. I've never met a man who would like, yeah, I'd wife her up. Never. Now, I've heard men over the years talking about, yeah, man, Felicia Rashad or Nia Long or Sanaa Lathan. Like, you hear a lot of men talk. Y'all see the threads. Y'all, you know, Marv, and, you know, he always has his threads going. But never will you ever hear a man talking about, yeah, Beyonce this, she's so sexy, Beyonce that, yeah, I'd wife her up. Never. because that's whorish behavior. No man wants to wake up to the woman that they just smashed off from the night before. Do you know? Because I've had sex with a million Beyoncés. I'm just like average women with nice bodies, cute face, and that's, you know, just used for what they were used for. I have no problem admitting that. Y'all know me, what I used to do. I mean, but that's what men do. But you guys already know that, don't you? You already know that that's what men do. You go into it thinking, oh, wow, yeah, let me dye my hair. Let me, you know, have that whole swag about me that she has when she's on stage, Sasha Fierce. But then you're wondering why men are treating you the way they do. Well, men don't wife up hoes. And I'm just not even – notice I'm not even acknowledging Jay-Z and the fact that he married her, because he's the ultimate non-elite man. Hopefully you guys realize that by now. You know, Kanye West, Jay-Z, those are the only two men that I really know of that wife up hoes. Courtney, honestly, how many other black men do you know that, like, even on a – forget a personal level or, like, an actual – everyday level, but just even on a celebrity level, that actually wife up and flaunt known hoes, you know, women who carry themselves in a clearly hoish manner. Can you even name any?
No, I can't.
Can anybody? You know, it's very infrequently that you see black men, you know, the only person who comes to mind now that I can think of, I think of Ice-T, you know, I think of, you know, him. But you look at him, he's an old pimp trying to, you know, live out his final days, you know, whatever. But typically, you know, she's a stripper who is cheating on him or did cheat on with the dude. So, I mean, you know, just my advice to ladies is, look, just respect yourselves. Just respect yourselves, ladies. You know, and if you don't, you don't. If you want to have a little fun, then that's what it is. But just don't sit back and blame God. Don't turn and be mad at God for not blessing you with love when you are living in the world and loving the things of the world. That's all I'm saying, because that's just not fair to God. A lot of women, I say, well, why will you? It's funny. I did two back-to-back sessions. I did two back-to-back sessions. I think I had a 3:30 and I had a 4:30 appointments earlier this week, and these women will remain nameless. Great women, but just really not happy with where they are emotionally and you know, relationship wise. And I said, well, why? And both of them have subjected themselves to less than favorable situations with men. And I said, well, you know, why are you dealing with these types of men? When you, first of all, you want love, you want a husband, you want a family, you want to be a wife, why are you doubting that you can have, well, I should say, why are you doing this when you can have this? They say, because I just don't think it's going to happen for me. I said, wow. I said, well, but you love God, right? You trust God. Well, they said, well, no, both of them literally said the exact same thing. They said, well, I guess I don't trust God. I don't trust God that, you know, he will bless me with love. And I said, well, you know, why not? Why? What makes you so different than so many other women who've been blessed with love and become wives after you know, making not, you know, some not so good decisions in their early part of their lives? They said, well, just because it hasn't happened already. They said it hasn't happened for me already. I said, first of all, you and I just started working together recently, so you're just now starting the process of changing your life, so you can't really count how your life has been in the past, because you just started the process of change. You say, well, yeah, but I just don't have the confidence. I just don't have the self-esteem that tells me that I will have better. And now that I think about it, that's about maybe three or four different women that I can think of who I've had that same exact conversation with. And I just say this, you know, if you are one of those women listening, you know, secretly or privately, you know, just reach out, you know what I mean? Because the advice, you know, what I'm able to do, and, you know, is change that, you know, those views, get rid of those low self-esteem issues, those lack of trust issues towards God, and, you know, overcome that so that you don't have to continue dealing with that ex-boyfriend who just views you as being good for once a week, or that ex-boyfriend or that ex-friend with benefits who targets you for sex and hits you up saying, hey, what's up, sexy? In fact, that text is on its way in about 13 minutes. You know, hey, what's up? You still up? You still sleeping? Hey, you know, is it cool if I swing through? Ladies, you're better than a man just swinging through. Okay? You ever had a guy hit you up trying to just swing through?
Hit it and quit it, yeah. Yep.
Hit it and quit it. And I wasn't saying anything about sex. I just said swing through. What you been
well,
up
that's
to?
What happens. Because I'm going to keep it real. Because that's what happens. It's not like they swing through and they just stop by and you talk and then they leave. Usually sex goes down, and once they get what they want, they're on to the next one. So.
Right. That's true. I was one of those guys back in the day. If you guys missed our special on how to avoid dealing with low-down, dirty bastards, you know, I'll post that link after this show. You know, that's not a show that you guys wanted to miss, because only guys, you know, who the only guys who do that, you know, are bastards. You know, I used to be a bastard. You know, the type of guy who would take advantage of low self-esteem, take advantage of a woman's underlying need and desire for love and family and, you know, and exploit it for sexual purposes. You know, but the great thing about it is you can't be exploited. You can't be taken advantage of by a man who you don't have sex with. Because if it's all about sex, which it definitely always is, and you don't have sex with him, well then, you know, you can't be taken advantage of. Now, a lot of women are getting taken advantage of by having a mentality that says, I'll sleep with you, but only in a monogamous, committed situation. You ever had that way of thinking?
No, because I didn't require that. It was kind of like I had different criteria. It was like, if you just made me feel special, then I would do it. And so because I played so many games, most men didn't, you know, even want to get to that point and make me feel, you know, special, because it was too much of a headache. So that's what happened with me.
Wow, that's deep. I want to do a couple of advice questions in this last hour, but I also want to talk about the man code, if I can for a second. There's a couple, and this probably could be a whole show, you know, and probably will be. But you know, there's something called the man code, and there's certain things, you know, in the man code that you just don't do. All right, one of them being, and this isn't what I had in mind, but one of them being, fellas, and even ladies, never trust a man. Okay, ladies, never trust a man who speaks to you, you know, without acknowledging and shaking the hand of the man you're with. Okay, that's a violation of the man code. I don't care if that man has never seen you or seen that man a day in his life. If I'm, for example, me and Courtney are friends. I've known Courtney for several years now. So if I don't care, but if I run into Courtney and she's with somebody, I'm not going to give Courtney a hug. I'm not going to have a whole long, drawn-out conversation with Courtney. I'm going to acknowledge that man. I'm going to shake that man's hand. Hey, what's going on, man? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to, you know, bust it up like we're best friends. But at the same time, I'm at least going to acknowledge him first, because that's the respectful thing to do. You know, you shake that man's hand, give him a nice firm handshake, not the wet fish handshake, not like these little fruit guys out here. But I'm talking about, you know, shake that man's hand, nice firm grip. You look that man in the eye as you shake his hand, and you keep it moving. These guys out here, I can't stand these men who I run into. You know, when I'm with my wife, may speak to my wife, don't say nothing to me. You know, but we'll acknowledge her. That's, to be honest, that's borderline homosexual to be, but certainly disrespectful and borderline homosexual. You know, because it's just not manly. It's not what real men do. And so I'm just saying this so that all the women can be aware of this, in case you weren't aware, you know, previously. Look out for that. You know, look out for men who do that, because it's, you know, it's definitely not cool. Have you ever experienced that or not really?
No, but what I will say is that prior to, you know, being a part of the show, or even prior to, you know, when I was just a listener, I didn't know about that. Like, I didn't know about the whole guy code thing at all. I thought it would be okay for the man to speak to me first and not speak to my man first.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I didn't know that. But think about it though. I mean, a lot of women. I think a lot of women can relate to what I just said, because if you hadn't been raised by a man, or if you didn't have a father in your life, certain things you just don't know.
Right. Another thing is, well, yeah, so there's that. Another situation as far as the man code goes is when you're dealing with a woman, okay, you don't, as a man, I'm not talking about the ladies, y'all have your own code. I'm talking about the male code, the man code. You don't deal with another man's significant other or ex-significant other. That's just something you don't do. Now, if I'm just smashing somebody off, you know, and my homie wants to smash, and he's like, yo, is it cool if I smash? You know, if that's what you're, you know, if that's what you're about, if that's the stage you're in, like that's how you're living your life, then, you know, that's something that would be totally different and totally acceptable. And, well, I shouldn't say acceptable, but you guys know what I mean. It would not be a violation of the man code. But if you are, you know, dealing with somebody, like that's your girlfriend, and y'all break up, you know, you don't, I mean, you just don't do that. I mean, well, I should say you don't do that when you know that person or are friendly with that person or are cool with that person, have had dealings with that person. It's just something you don't do. Case in point, I don't know if you guys heard, but the whole, Floyd Mayweather and Nelly are having some type of beef. Because I don't know if y'all know, one of the, and this is just the guy talk right here, the fellas know, like when we have the fight parties, you know, to be honest, and this is just being honest, real, this is, you know, every man knows, you know, everybody gets the fight parties. I'll probably be at a fight party on Saturday night, Mayweather's fighting this weekend. You know, his ex-fiance has gone down in history as being one of the most beautiful women in history. And it's just like, I'm not saying that to make anybody feel, I'm just keeping it real because that's what I do. Like, every man knows that. Like, the guys are talking, like, she's just, you know, that, you know, when people think of, like, wow, who's, you know, her, Floyd Mayweather's ex. Like, that's just her name, Floyd's ex, you know. And so, he, you know, they broke up, some situations, you know, he put on Twitter that she aborted his kids without his knowing, and you know, that's why he called off the engagement. So, but evidently Nelly is dealing with her now, and you know, him and Floyd used to be cool back in the day. That is a man code violation to the 10th degree. That's something you don't do. You know what I'm saying? You don't do that. Can you agree with that, Courtney?
Yeah. 100%. I heard about that today. Listening to that on the radio. That's crazy.
Man. I mean, it's just like, wow. It just kind of shows you, you know, how unmanly, you know, men are nowadays. It's just like, wow, you just get, like, y'all were cool. Like, that happened to me back in the day. It was like this dude, well, not on that level, but this dude who I was cool with, you know, it was funny. This girl I was dealing with, and we were friends, but we were, you know, kind of doing what we were doing, kind of like a friends with benefits type of situation. We were just cool. But this dude who I was cool with, I mean, we used to hang out, and so he would, she told me one day, he's like, yo, you know your homie, you know, he tried to talk to me, like, you know, I was like, what? She was like, yeah, you know your homie, he asked me for my number. And I was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Now, me and her, we weren't even on that level. Like, it wasn't like I was mad and was going to go confront him, but it was just like, wow, like, he knew that I was dealing with her. Like, he would be around when we were. Do you see how that's kind of like the type of shady stuff that's just not cool?
Yeah, that's real shady.
So, you know, so ladies, that is not cool. And when you, you know, when and if you see those types of situations, hopefully you will let the guy know that that's not cool. We talked about it, what, last week, Keeping It Real Fridays, I think, where we did our show on loyalty. You know, these girls ain't loyal, where we talked about Chris Brown, where we talked about Drake and how Rihanna is running around, you know, dating Drake, having sex with Drake. After, mind you, after Drake blatantly disrespected her publicly, she can have a Grammy. I'll still treat her ass like a nominee. You know, let me hit just one time. You know, what is it? One time, that's good for me. Something crazy like that. I mean, like, how do you, let me just say, I mean, Corey, how as a man do you say something that disrespectful to a woman and then that same woman still allow you to smash after going back to her ex and then breaking up with him and then going back to a guy who disrespected you? I mean, is that, you've got to have the lowest amount of self-esteem to even think about doing something like that. But there you have Rihanna.
Right.
Unfortunate.
Yes.
If you guys were, some of y'all may remember, Courtney, were you around when we did the special, Gerald and I, we did the special on Rihanna where we talked about her, the reasons for her sexual addiction, the reason for her emotional unavailability as far as being abused by her stepfather?
Yes.
Oh, so you heard that show back, that was at least, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, that's when I started listening.
That was a while ago. That was definitely a minute ago. But, you know, it's in the archives. Definitely, you know, check it out. If you guys are newer listeners, understand, I mean, this is probably our seventh or eighth year of the Dadon Tolbert Show. Me personally, I was in radio 2 years prior to that. Shout out to Steph. Some of y'all may remember, probably very few of y'all will remember my beginnings in radio on VIP radio. Had a little 15-minute Ask Dadon, you know, advice segment for a few years, then ultimately decided to do a spinoff. But, yeah, man, definitely good times, you know, back in the day. But, yeah, so, I mean, those are just two instances of clear and blatant man code violation. You know, but yeah, shout out to everybody who's checking out the fight. Do you follow boxing at all? You gonna be checking out the fight this weekend?
No, I don't follow it.
You don't watch boxing?
No, I don't.
Let me do this. Another man code violation that I just thought of just now, or actually that we discussed. I posted about it last week. Let me say this as delicately as possible. Men complimenting other men on their profile pictures is a violation. Okay, have you witnessed this, Courtney?
Yes, I have.
What have you seen? Like, what kind of compliments?
A guy will say something like, "I like your style." Some of you got it, some of you didn't. It's an inside joke. But I've seen that before, and it gives me the side eye. Cause it's like, who does that? It's very feminine. It's just gay. That's the word. It's just gay.
Right. It's gay. I'll tell you a funny, that was definitely an inside joke. And shout out to you guys who actually catch the joke and were around for when that happened in the Friends of the Dadon Tolbert Show group about a year ago. But back in the day, there was a guy who actually said that to me. Now I think about it, he was clearly gay, real feminine. He's like, you know, I had on some Gucci loafers or something. He was like, he looked down. He was like, oh, I like your style. I'm like, whoa, all right. All right, that's what's up, man. I appreciate it. Cool. But, yeah, he was actually gay. That's the funny thing about it. And obviously that other situation that we're talking about, that guy was gay. And to be honest with you, most likely, you know, anyone who does that, it's sad to say, and I mean, I'm just going to keep it real. There are a lot of guys out here who are just gay, you know, like on the DL. And, you know, and if you guys miss, we really went deep into it a couple of years ago when we broadcasted our special on, you know, how to avoid recognize and avoid men on the DL. If you want to hear, that's probably one of the most important shows we have ever done here on this show, just from a female perspective, like, you know, from you guys, I should say for you guys as females, from us guys. It was a barbershop where myself and Lewis and Marv and James, we all shared our stories and our experiences with, you know, men on the DL, you know, and just the man code violation. So I would just say you should not be a woman out there. There should not be a woman out there who has not heard that show from a male perspective to be able to hear, like, wow, this is how you spot, you know, a guy. And I'll tell y'all something. You know, when you go back to, you know, the homosexual roots, you know, in the Old Testament that God speaks about, I talked about in the beginning of this show, where God was like, you know, no man should, you know, should harm or molest this man. You know, that it kind of showed you what God sees. God sees, you know, the hidden intentions with these men. I mean, this is someone, that's like saying, yo, don't rob this guy. He's like, yeah, don't rob him, don't kill him, don't beat him up, but also don't rape him. You know, when you look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were like, you know, bring the angels, you know, there were two angels that came to the town. They said, yo, you know, bring them out so we can have sex with them. These were men that wanted to rape, you know, these other men who just happened to be, you know, angels, you know. And so, you know, when you look at how common, you know, homosexuality was biblically, and then you look at today, it shouldn't, you know, we are moving towards, you know, the end of the world, similar to how God destroyed the world back in the day with the flood. So it's all going to happen again, not in that way, but just when it gets to that certain level that it was before. And, I mean, the level of homosexuality, you can see it from an entertainment standpoint, from just an, you know, an overall standpoint. But if it's becoming that widespread, you know, nationally and just publicly and openly, well, you can only imagine. You know, it was, what, 10 years ago when I interviewed J.L. King, author of On the Down Low. That was 10 years ago, and he made waves with that book. He sat on Oprah's couch, and I had him on the show like 2 weeks later, and he told it, he went even deeper on our show. So if that was 10 years ago, just imagine, and you got a chance to hear that show and all the stories he told about what he experienced from DL guys and even himself being on the DL, just imagine, you know, 10 years later, how many guys out there are on the DL today, and just the magnitude of it. If that, you see what I'm saying? If it hit that crazy back then, well, what's going on now? You ever think about that?
Yeah, it's just, that means it's just even worse. That's why it's just so important to really have God in your life and have that discernment, because, yeah, it's real out here.
I mean, it's crazy out here. These guys run around. You can't even make eye contact. I would be talking to Marv sometimes, some of my other guys. I mean, it's just like, man, you can't even look at guys. Guys be trying to make eye contact, be trying to bump you, brush up against you. It's like, yo, like, get the heck out of here. Fruitcakes, man. Hey. Anyway, but yeah, so there's that. That's a man code violation. Complimenting. And that's not to say that person's picture is not nice. You know what I mean? But you don't have to publicly comment, oh, yeah, that's a nice, you know, oh, you looking good, bro. You know, hey, looking real suave and debonair. Like, just click, yo, do this, ladies. Do this. This is going to be entertaining. Do this. Go to some of your male friends' Facebook pages and then click on their profile pictures and just scroll through and see how many men you see complimenting them on their pictures. And I'm not saying all those guys are gay, necessarily. Some are, but I'm not necessarily just because they comment. But what I'm saying is it's a violation. So I'm just saying, man, it is what it is, man. See, y'all going to thank me one day, man, because This stuff is like, I need to know this information. Should we do a couple advice questions and get up out of here?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is fun. Matter of fact, let me do this. I want to read a testimony. A young woman wrote into the show, and we've gotten a lot of, you know, thousands, in fact, you know, women writing in saying, wow, you know what, they done, you know, thank you for, you know, sharing certain information and, you know, with us. But a lot, I mean, and you've gotten that too, right, Courtney? I mean, it's people, you know, thanking you for your advice and
yeah.
What does that mean to you?
It means everything. I mean, it feels so good, you know, to know, like I said before, that people are being blessed and we're changing lives.
Absolutely. This is one of them. A young woman wrote into the show saying, I've got to say that your show is the best information that I've heard in all my life. I can't get enough of you. I've never heard the things you've talked about from the mouths of my own parents, so it speaks loudly that I'm taking in all this biblical relationship advice from you. I admire you greatly. Whenever I'm in my car, your show, new or archived, is what I listen to. My parents never gave me the rundown on real love, and at 26, I'm glad that I can listen to your show for reference. Daydon, I've done a lot of whorish things at 26, and I can say that I'm not proud of it, and I can say that I regret it, but if I did, I would be lying. I have no regrets. It is what it is. I've changed, and I continue to make room for development. I do in the near future want to get married and have a family of my own and experience real love like you, your wife, like you and your wife are experiencing with your daughter. And shout out to Courtney for keeping it real as well. As women, it can be a bit terrifying to speak your personal life for the world to hear and judge. God bless. And she gives her name, but we'll leave her anonymous, just like we leave everybody anonymous. And you know, and that's, you know, one of those things that just really, you know, makes me feel good, warms my heart up, and really just is a blessing to me, you know, I mean, not that we need it, but just it kind of gives confirmation that, you know, we do, you know, people obviously appreciate the show and are blessed by the show and appreciate the advice that's given and are able to apply it to their lives and everyday real life situations. But aside from that, it's really great to hear women who have done whorish things but are not ashamed. Because you guys know from private counseling or just listening to this show that two of the major lies and weapons that the devil has over you is the lie of shame and the lie of, what the heck is it? You know, Courtney,
guilt.
Shame and...
Guilt.
Guilt. What? Yes, thank you, Courtney. Shame and guilt. Shame and guilt are two of the major lies that the enemy uses to both oppress and depress you. And so it's great to see a young woman who is not bound by either of those things and is able to freely say, look, I have no regrets in life. I was a whore, but here's the key. She says, I have changed and I continue to change. She says, I continue to make room for development. That is excellent. She has not been weighed down and bogged down by her past so much to the point where she has lost hope and lost faith in her future, but she says, I do in the near future want to get married and have a family of my own. So this is just, you know, it's a blessing to hear, you know, from women like that. And, you know, I tell you guys, I have a testimony folder with literally thousands of those same exact types of letters. That folder grows every single day. Courtney has now started a folder, and she has a few hundred of those same types of letters. That will only continue to grow as the years go on. And one day when I'm old and gray, you know, I will just kind of scroll through and listen and just like, wow, you know what I'm saying, just reflect on, you know, what's been done. So, but definitely keep them coming. What do you feel when you hear that type of letter, Courtney?
It's amazing. Just I do thank her, you know, just for continuing to listen to the show and just, you know, work on, you know, herself and just constantly striving to improve, because that's what's most important. So I do thank her for that.
Excellent, excellent. Definitely keep them coming. And, you know, and if, you know, I don't know if she has already, but definitely reach out for private counseling with myself, Courtney Oshel, and we'd be happy to, you know, just kind of make sure. We're doing a 50% off spring special. So if you guys want to set up a free, emotional availability checkup, you know, we can do that. 855-55-DATON or info@trctoday.com. Advice question that I did want to read. I told a young woman that I would touch on this for her the next time we were live. So here we go. Hopefully she's tuned in and not getting into some trouble. But a young woman said, "Hey, Dadon, how are you? On your show one day, could you please address how women mess up a good thing by being too sensitive? I believe that I'm doing that." Well, that's interesting. Now, let me talk about that for a quick second. I can relate to that. I've dealt with a few sensitive women in my life. A young woman says, how do you mess up a good thing? Well, the way that you do that is when you have a man, and we're not talking about these losers. We're not talking about the guys who just want to smash. But we're talking about men who actually see something special in you to the point where they want to commit to you. They want to build a future with you. But because of, you know, the fact that you've been hurt, you've been lied to, you've been abused by these guys, you know, so much so that you are reluctant to give 100% of your heart. You have a guard up, you have a wall up, and because of that guard and that wall, it causes you to overreact to certain situations, hypersensitivity, you know, just really being just, you know, having a guy feel like he has to walk on eggshells. Eventually that's going to mess things up. You know, we as men, if we didn't want to be with you, then we wouldn't be with you. You don't have to overreact. You don't have to try extra hard to, you know, make things, you know, a certain type of way to avoid them ending up like your last situation. Just go with the flow and have that confidence and that faith in God that, one, he will not send you a psycho, you know, so that you have to have that guard up. That's what a lot of people do. A lot of women, they are so used to dealing with the liars, the dogs, the cheaters, and the players that they really don't know how to recognize a true man of God when he comes into their life. And that messes everything up. Is that something you can relate to on any level?
Yeah, I can. I can relate to that. Just the, you know, the hypersensitivity and overreacting, because it's like in the back of your head you want to believe that they're just like the rest of them, or something that they say will bring you back mentally to, you know, a point in your past. And so with that being said, that's why it's important to heal from that, so you no longer have those flashbacks or anything like that, because you will have, you know, gained closure and healing from it.
Right. And that's one of the things that, you know, is one of, believe it or not, one of the biggest turnoffs to us as men. You know, women who pick fights, you know, for no reason, women who, you know, are not really comfortable in their own skin to be able to laugh. So it's like if you say something, you know, they want to jump down your throat. It's just, you know, I used to have a young woman, every, you know, a girlfriend, every time of the, you know, when it was that time of the month, we would just break up every single time of the month because she was just a psycho. But you see what I'm saying? Like, old, super sensitive. Like, "I can't take this. I can't take this. I can't do this anymore." It's like, yo, like, all right, well, I'll talk to you in a couple of days. And just give me a call when you, you know, once it comes on. But, yeah, these women, some, I mean, and we even did a whole show on that. And I'm actually, we talked about it on the show. But I remember back in the day when the threads used to be like 1,000 and the cycles would come out of nowhere to debate. But I said, you know, ladies, I forget what I said. I was like, yo, when it's that time of the month, Why can't you just admit that it's that time of the month and admit that you're being a certain type of way instead of trying to act like we actually said or did something that really pissed you off? Why not just admit that it's, like, they were just like, we were going crazy. I'm just like, yo, like, it was like, man, it was like 1,000 comments. This was a couple, several years ago, but yeah. Anyway, was that ever you, Courtney? Were you ever psycho around
yeah.
that time of the month?
Yeah. And so that's why I can relate to all of that, you know, crying, throwing fits, just being a psycho. And, you know, and trying to act like it wasn't because my period was coming on, because it was that man or something that he was doing. So, I mean, it's important to get yourself in check. You know, there are things that you can do so that your mood isn't all crazy like that. Half of it's related to your diet. So, I mean, that's a whole other issue, but I'm just saying. I mean, there are things that you can do so you don't act like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can change your diet. Like, it's what you eat will affect how your mood will be before your period comes and while it's on. So if you have a healthy diet, your mood is more likely to be more balanced. But if you're eating, like, junk food and all this crazy crap, yeah, you're going to be all over the place.
Well, cool. Yeah, do me a favor. Just go ahead and email that meal plan to my wife. No, I'm just playing with you.
I'm just playing.
It's already late. I'll be sleeping on the couch, you know, again. But it is what it is, because I'm actually, you know, I don't know if y'all have children or toddlers, but, you know, when I get off the air, I don't have a place to sleep. Okay, like, my wife is sprawled out, the baby, you know, doesn't want to sleep in her own room, so she's in the crib, and it's, you know, I mean, you know, not in the crib, and on my side of the bed, which is, you know, very disconcerting to say the least, but the joys of fatherhood is what it is. Courtney, you'll, I'm sure, be looking forward to those days.
Yes, I can't wait.
Right. No, definitely, man. I wouldn't trade it for anything. So, and the thing about it, we give, you know, I mean, we talk about a lot about parenting, but at the end of the day, being a parent is great. You know what I mean? You know, hopefully you guys enjoy it. Hopefully you respect it. And just see it as a responsibility. And just know that everything you do is going to have a direct effect on, you know, on your kids. So, you know, it is what it is. What else? There was one more advice question. This was a situation from a young man who would like to be, you know, remain anonymous, which we'll definitely do. That's not a problem. Everybody's anonymous when you guys write in. If you have questions or situations that you'd like to hear us discuss on the show, just shoot me an inbox on Facebook or send an email to askdadon@trctoday.com. And, you know, we can discuss your question or situation anonymously. But a young man wrote in saying, "Hey, Dadon, I'm a 30-something professional black man currently engaged to a professional black woman of the same age. I've been listening to your show for some months now while commuting to and from work, and find that the relationship advice you give is a breath of fresh air. It's good to know that I'm not the only male that needs to or that tends to apply logic and common sense to not only life, but especially relationships. I was once married before, but after 1 year of that marriage, we separated and divorced. One of my issues I had before I married my ex-wife was that she was very loving and affectionate and made me feel wanted. But when I put the ring on her finger, all that changed. I got nothing but rude attitude and or disrespect, and even after we married, our sex life went downhill. I think I saw the red flags, but convinced myself that this is what it means when they say that marriage is tough and that you have to work through it. Now I find myself pretty much in the same situation with my current fiance, meaning that she used to be loving and affectionate, but now that we're engaged and I moved in with her from another state, I feel that she's withdrawn herself from me. After being in a long-distance relationship for years and hinting that she wanted to get married to me, you would think that she would act like it's good to finally be together. but it sort of feels like she wants to hang on to this notion of being independent and inconsiderate of how her attitude affects my feelings. I've been labeled by her as having high expectations and being too emotional, and it gets on her nerves. Somehow, our Christian-based premarital counselor agrees with her in that aspect, which baffles me. Either way, all I ask for is affection and respect. It's to the point where I don't get the love and affection I deserve, and when we get into arguments, of which I tend to get out of character and yelling because I don't understand why she thinks it's okay to treat me that way. Mind you, this display of independence and rudeness was never present before we got engaged. I come from a loving two-parent home. She has her mother, but the biological father was not present. She has a stepdad, but his marriage to her mom was turmoiled with infidelity on his part, as far as I know. As I sometimes want to invite her to listen to your show, but I know that she will only reject pretty much everything you say and add more conflict between us. I still love my fiance very much, but I feel like I'm conforming to whatever her agenda is, and now I'm undecided. And to top it off, she knows what I went through with my ex-wife, which is pretty much the same scenario, and she said that she would never treat me like she did. I guess my question is, why do some women flip the script after a woman shows all her intentions of being a loving husband who will do everything in their power to love, support, and protect them? Thanks, Dadon, and God bless. So that's the question. And this is a lot, you know, and probably should have did this a little bit earlier, but this is just so we have, you know, more time to talk about. But there's so many different, you know, areas we could approach this from. But while I gather my thoughts and, you know, check this out a little bit, Courtney, what are your thoughts? What do you make of this situation?
I mean, it's obvious that she does have trust issues, and a lot of it is based off of just what she knew growing up. And so one thing that is missing in the situation is submission. And so, I mean, that's why she is the way that she is. But my thing is, my whole question is that something that he should even be trying to tolerate? I mean, yes, you could say, oh, that's how she grew up, but I mean, I don't even want to use that as an excuse. You know, I almost want to say that he should move on to be with someone who has, you know, the qualities that he desires. And then at the same time, I mean, I don't really give advice to men like that, but in this instance, I'm just wondering, like, if some self-reflection is needed if he continues to be with the same type of woman, it's the same type of situation.
Right, right, right. I mean, that is good advice. You know, I would start off with saying the same exact thing. And this goes for anybody. Any time where you find yourself attracting the same types of women, the same types of men, you always, you know, whoever it is, self-reflection and examination is always going to be key. You know, that's always going to be the first thing that you want to do to determine, like, all right, well, you know, if this is happening, why is it happening? You know, is every man I've attracted, you know, if he's cheating on me, all right, well, what kind of vibe am I giving off? If guys are looking to smash and not commit, well, all right, well, why is that? Why is that happening? Is it that all men are dogs, or is it that all men are viewing me as a hoe? You know, which is it? And so we want to look at that. In this situation, I often hear a lot of men complaining and complaining and complaining about, you know, dealing with the same types of women. And sometimes, not all the times, you know, because, you know, many women do have certain issues, and there are certain things that are relatively consistent in today's society based on certain types of upbringings. But even still, you know, you still want to just reflect and really just put God first. And that's one thing that I didn't really hear a lot of in this letter was, you know, really seeking God and really turning to God and asking God and trusting him, you know, and consulting him about these decisions, about, you know, is this the woman that you have for me? Not who I find is sexy, not who is loving and affectionate, you know, and things like that, but, you know, is this the woman who you ultimately have for me? And I found that a lot of times men don't do that the way they should. and unfortunately end up making bad decisions, I am a product of that back in the day. And so, as a man, I would just say definitely ask God, hey, look, you know, I went through one divorce. Am I on the right track, you know, or am I basically, you know, headed for disaster, put it like that. And the great thing is he will let you know one way or the other. You know, he'll tell you definitively. You just got to ask him for a sign. He'll give you the sign, and that'll be that. You just have to make the right decision to be obedient. Now, but just on a more, you know, everyday level, that's more on a spiritual level. But, you know, what I've found is that from just experience-wise, he said that once he put the ring on her finger, once the commitment became serious, he said, all that changed. I got nothing but rude attitude and disrespect even after we married. Our sex life went downhill. He says, I think I saw the red flags, but convinced myself that's what it means when they say that marriage is tough. Here's the thing. That's the first thing you want to do. I can guarantee you that those red flags didn't start after you got married or after you got engaged. Maybe the problems became full-blown at that stage or those stages, but the red flags were evident before the engagement, and the red flags were evident before the marriage. But like you said, you chose to ignore those red flags. Women, y'all do the same thing a lot of times too. You will see red flags in a man, but you will ignore the red flags, and then when the red flags become, you know, it's like if you see smoke, you don't ignore the smoke, and, you know, you don't just call the fire department when there's a fire. If there's smoke, you want to deal with the smoke and not ignore the smoke, otherwise the fire will burn your whole house down and maybe even destroy you. Now, what we have here is what I found also from personal experience is that typically, and this is not, you know, in all cases, but typically it says that, you know, he comes from a two-parent home. She grew up with a mother, but not having the biological father in her life and not having, and the father figure that she did see, where is it at? The father figure that she had pretty much, you know, was filled with infidelity. We talk about this every single day in private counseling. 95% of the women that I've worked with privately have grown up in a similar situation. No father, no biological father, or the biological father that they do have was a cheater, a drug addict, a deadbeat. And what that does, a lot of times people say, all right, well, whatever, that was my life, that's how I grew up. But you guys, a lot of people don't analyze and break down the long-term effect that seeing that as a child, a female child, what that will have on them and how they view other men. That will cause, as in many cases, a deep-rooted anger and often hatred towards men. But all that being said, most women who have experienced that, they still don't want to be alone. They still have these unresolved issues towards their dad or their dad figure, but they still don't want to be alone. So what do? You hate men. You have animosity towards men as a whole, but you still want sex, you want kids, you want a family, you want that life, but you still have these issues. So what do? You put on your mask, right? You put on the mask, and you do what he said she did, says she was loving. She was affectionate, you know. She was very compassionate. You know, the sex was on and popping. But after she appeared to get what she wanted, to get what she had always dreamed of, then, you know, the true colors came out. The true hatred came out. The true animosity came out. And I'm speaking from personal experience. I'm from me personally, but also seeing literally hundreds of women literally tell me this is what's going on. You know, this is my experiences. This is how I view men. Everything I tell y'all is one way or another. It's from personal experience. Now, that's on the women's side. But going back to the male side, you know, this may be uncomfortable, but you got to look at what you said here. It says that meaning She was very loving and affectionate, but now that we're engaged and I moved in with her from another state, I feel that she's withdrawing herself from me. One of the things you guys have to, you know, realize is that, you know, we as believers, you know, as Christians, but who are still looking for love, it's a very slippery slope because you want love, but at the same time, there are going to be certain aspects of dating and relationships that are going to be appealing, like the sex, you know, like, okay, let's live together. Well, you're that's not how God designed it. That's not how he's going to bless it. So when you put yourself into a situation where you are sinning, living in unrepentant sin even, you can't be mad that God is not blessing. The only relationships that are going to survive are the ones that are blessed by God. Let that marinate for a little bit. Your relationship will not last if it's not blessed by God. If you're not dealing with the man that God has for you, or fellas, if you're not dealing with the woman that God has for you, your relationship is going to fail, and it's going to end up like this, or how it ended up, you know, in your situation. You guys know what I'm talking about. And the reason why it's not being blessed is because of, says you, they were living together. So, Courtney, if they were living together, what was probably going on?
Oh, they were having sex.
Well, right. They were having sex. So when you fornicate, you know, you take God out of the equation. And then and at that point, you're forced to do it on your own. You're forced to try to figure out what the problems are. But what does the Word say? What does the Word say about that? You know, it says specifically to lean not, actually the first part of that, and most people don't realize the first part of that, is to be not wise in your own eyes. Okay, a lot of people are wise in their own eyes. They think that they're smarter than what they are. They think that they can figure out on their own. It says, be not wise in your own eyes, but instead, in all your ways acknowledge him, or actually lean not on your own understanding, then in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. You see how that works? But think about it. How can you lean on God? How can you put God first? How can you acknowledge him in all your ways if you are living in unrepentant sin and you've separated yourself from God? It's kind of hard to lean on someone when they're across the room. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
Just do me a favor, guys. Just go ahead and bookmark this show and put it up on the shelf as an all-time classic. Right? I'm just saying, because this is, you know what I'm saying, this is exclusive information right here. You know, we all are living in, not, I shouldn't say we all, but we all have at some point, and many are currently living in unrepentant sin. You know, whether it's watching that porn, you know, whether it's having sex with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you know, your friend with benefits, whether it's going to the club, whether it's just listening to that, you know, Lil Wayne or that Beyonce, partition comes on, y'all start dancing, you know, in the mirror. Y'all know what y'all do, ladies, butt naked after you just get out the shower. You know, like, it's no matter what it is, you know, whether it's going to get that drink, you know, after happy hour, or, you know, whatever it is, you know what you do. If you're living in a state of sin where you're not really trying to let it go, that's going to separate you from God. So in this situation, it looks as if he separated himself from God. God has been removed from the equation. Really, since God isn't even mentioned in this letter, not one time, it looks like that's what's happened. This is a pretty long letter. I'm looking at it. You know, there's no mention of God or them praying together or really even consulting God about why they're having these issues. But it said, now here's another thing that's important here. We did a show a while ago where we talked about long-distance relationships. It says here, after being in a long-distance relationship for years and hinting that she wanted to get married to me, you would think that she'd act like it's good to finally be together. that doesn't really sound like, you know, he, you know, really wants to be with this young woman. Because you guys have heard this show. I mean, I have no problem with long distance relationships. I don't. But remember what I always say about them. There has to be an expiration date on them, right? I mean, you can't have a long distance relationship that just goes on indefinitely. It's like, okay, we're just long distance. You know, that's just what we do. No, you have to actually have a plan for how the relationship is going to no longer be long distance. You ever had a long distance relationship, Courtney?
No.
Yeah. See, I have, you know, and it's not as bad as people think it. And funny thing is, in many cases, it's true what they say about absence making the heart grow fonder. Because when you have one person who's truly committed to making it work, and then you have another person who's truly committed to making it work, the distance is not, it's not even an obstacle, it's just a situation that you're both very much so interested in overcoming. You know, it's just like, so it's, and in fact, it will often tell you exactly how that person feels about you, exactly how committed they are to you. But if you're in a situation where you're in it for years, and then it says here that she was hinting that she wanted to get married. Well, I mean, from what I've experienced, I don't know too many women who were dealing with men who actually wanted to be with them that had to hint that they wanted to get married. Typically, when a man wants a woman, I'm talking about really wants a woman, there's not too many hints that need to be dropped. But what it seems like, and I'm just being honest, especially since this is Keeping It Real Fridays, that it looks like because of the marriage and then the ultimate divorce, that he, you know, I don't really use this word to describe men, but if there was ever a case of an emotionally unavailable man, then that would definitely, this seems like it would be applicable, because he is still clearly affected by that first situation. You know what I mean? And I appreciate him for listening, but you know, I gotta be real with you. You know, it seems like there were some situations, I know he's tuned in, there were some situations from the first marriage that you're not really fully healed from yet. And so it's like, even in this letter, there were times where you on a number of occasions, you compared her, your fiance, to your ex. And I'll tell you something, if you say here that you've been labeled as having high expectations, and you also go on to say that my fiance is very much so aware of what I went through with my ex, well, that basically says that you've been doing some comparing. And trust me, I found this out the hard way. No woman wants to be compared. So, you know, if she's, that's all, in addition to her, the issue that she was already bringing to the table. What was that? Did you just say, Courtney? What the heck was that, Courtney?
I was trying to see how long it took you to catch that.
What the heck?
Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, I caught that. But yet, nobody wants, no woman wants to be compared. Really, nobody wants to be compared. Women, y'all really don't want to be compared. So it seems like you were doing that, and then you can't really blame her for lashing out in her own way. She may not react to being compared in that moment, but, you know, that animosity will just build up and build up and build up. And then she just, unfortunately, won't want to have anything to do with you, which leads us to where we are now, where it says, you know, she's just, you know, distant and, you know, rude and, you know, independent and just really preparing herself for life after, you know, life after you. So my advice would be to, I hate to say it, but I'll say this. Just ask God, you know, like, are you doing the right thing? Is this the person who you really want to be with, you know, is this the best decision for you to make? And if so, because it's not, I'll say this, it's never too late to change. It's never, if God wasn't included before, it's not too late to, you know, stop the sex, you know, to get separate cribs or at least, you know, I'm going to be realistic. I'm not going to say if you know you're getting married, I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, so you live together and the wedding is, you know, next year, go ahead and move out and, you know, get two separate mortgages or rents. I mean, I'm not even going to, although that technically would be the best thing to do, but, I mean, just being realistic, that probably isn't what most people do. But, you know, make the necessary adjustments, if you catch my drift, so that it's not, you know, you guys living in unrepentant sin. You know, so any last thoughts on that?
No, I feel like we covered just about everything with that. I don't have anything to add.
Yeah, I mean, so I try to be as thorough as possible. You know, I try to, add as many of the, aspects of the question that, you know, that I could and approach it from a couple different angles. But, you know, I really wanted to discuss this question tonight because even though this is from a male, I know there are a lot of women who can relate from the girlfriend's perspective or the fiance's perspective. And obviously there are a lot of men who can relate. So it's just, and I just posted this on my page. I'm going to post it in the friends group. So in case you guys want to reflect on this question, it will be posted on my Facebook pages. But, whoever you're dealing with, you know, if there's a guy in your life right now who you feel that animosity towards, who, you know, maybe the bar has been lowered. Maybe you grew up watching your father be a hoe. Your father was a pimp, you know, a deadbeat, an abuser even. And because of that, it's caused you to lower your standards. It's caused you to, you know, have some animosity. You just got to pray about that. You know, you look at things like generational curses. You look at, you know, the ultimate generational curses that were put on us from our old ancient ancestors of people like Jacob, you know, in the Old Testament, and, you know, and so many others, you know, who, you know, defied God and sinned. And, you know, these are the people who we ultimately came from. And when that sin was just spread throughout the world, I mean, you know, this is all things that we have to deal with. So you always want to make sure that you're putting God first in any situation, whether it's dating, whether it's relationships. And just know that if you are in a situation where you're having doubts, you're having uncertainty, typically you are not dealing with the person that God has for you. Because why, Courtney? You know, God is not a God of confusion, doubt, or uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
I know, I just asked you a question and then I basically...
And he answered it, it's fine.
Right.
It's okay.
Right. You know, but it is what it is, man. It's, you know, that's what happens when you talk for 3 hours straight. But, you know, it's all for you guys. Hopefully we'll get ready to wrap it up. Hopefully you guys learned something tonight. Hopefully you enjoyed yourselves tonight. Hopefully tonight's show kept y'all out of some trouble, kept y'all out the streets, kept y'all off the couch, getting the massage. You ever spent a Friday night getting a massage, Courtney?
Yes, I have.
Right. I've spent many of Friday nights giving a massage, and we all know how those massages end up. So it's good that you were here tonight. Look at this. No, I'm just looking on Facebook. Tamika asked me, she says, hey, you didn't address the emotional availability part. She's like, look, you ain't going to sleep. I'm like, look, I just said, I just got finished talking for 3 hours straight. I'm trying to, you know what I mean? In the show, she says, hold on, you didn't, she wants me to go into a whole nother, you know, conversation that's going to take at least another 20 minutes. No, I'm just playing. No, seriously, no, but let's talk about it real quick. I did forget about it, though, and I actually did mean to discuss it tonight. I asked you guys know the last several weeks I've been doing the emotional availability pop quizzes just to gauge how you guys, you know, where you stand as far as some of these dating situations, as far as some of these, relationship situations. And the one from yesterday was it was an interesting one. It's one that was a repeat. I did it a couple of years ago, and I got totally different responses, and probably would get different responses if it was just posted on my regular page as opposed to the friends group. But most people there obviously listen to the show, but it's good nonetheless to do them. The question was, though, and I'm going to paraphrase since I don't have it in front of me, but you've been dealing with who you believe to be a true man of God, and you know, and let me clarify, because maybe I didn't clarify it on the post. It was that you've been talking, been cool, but you've never been out on an actual date. You haven't even seen each other. You just met, and you haven't seen each other. But he says, you know what? I have a taste for some McDonald's nuggets. You know, I just want to go to McDonald's. Ladies, how would you respond to that? Would you be cool with that? Courtney, I know that what the answer is now, but was there ever a time in your life when that would not have been cool?
Yeah, it was a time where I didn't think that was cool. I would have thought he was cheap, and just wanted sex from me, and so that's why he wanted to take me to McDonald's. I would have been insulted. So yeah, I probably wouldn't have gone on the date back in the day.
So what would you have done? You just would have told him no?
Yeah, I would have told him no, and that probably just would have been the end of it, because I would have been turned off.
Wow, that's deep. Now, it's funny, because one of the things that a lot of women do is they look at dating from a, you know, a very one-sided perspective. They look at it like, you have to show me something. You have to impress me in some way. You have to show me why, you know, you are worthy to be in my presence. But it's not about you guys, ladies. It's about us and you showing us that you are the woman that we should give a ring to, we should give our last name to, we should commit to. Okay, it's all about you. There's so many more women out here. We have to, you know, filter through, and you guys, it's going to be on you to differentiate yourself. If I say, hey, look, I want to go see this movie. If I say, hey, look, I have a taste for some nuggets, but I don't feel like going to McDonald's alone. Hey, look, do you just want to take this ride? That's the type of thing that you should go along with. If you express a problem with that, then that's not going to make him want to take you anywhere. You know, I know my wife, you know, that's something that she would not have a problem with. If I say, hey, look, you know, let's go to McDonald's, or even back in the day, you know, I just want to, you know, let me sneak this food. And as a matter of fact, bring your big pocketbook, and we're going to smuggle these fries into the movie theater. I'm going to smuggle this teriyaki chicken into the theater. You know, she would be cool with that. But doing that type of ghetto stuff, that type of fun stuff, is the thing, the reason why men feel comfortable on Valentine's Day, you know, taking you to the $300, you know, restaurants, or, you know, like we're going out to California next week for about a week, you know, having a good time out there. I mean, so these are, you know, things that you have to early on instill in the man. You can't just be a gold digger, or you can't be selfish and think everything is about you, but then expect that man to still want to wine and dine you. You have to be humble. You have to be submissive. You have to be caring and, you know, and easygoing. You know, if you express an issue with going to McDonald's, what makes you think he's going to want to take you to an expensive restaurant? What makes you think he's going to want to take you on a trip? Probably nothing. It's not going to happen. So the McDonald's is just a test. It's not about, a lot of women say, well, a lot, even some women who think that they were answering the question right, I mean, it wasn't a horrible answer, but they were saying, well, yeah, I'd go because they have salads, or I'd go because I could get water instead of soda, or I could get X. It's not about what you could get. It's about being supportive of what he wanted. You don't have to get anything. He just wanted company. Do you see the difference there, Courtney?
Yes, I do.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's all it was. You know what I mean? It's all about you guys, you know, and how flexible you are to make our lives easier. And if that's the case, if you put yourself into that situation, you know, where you show what you, where you cause yourself to be viewed in that light, we will literally do anything for you. But if you don't, then that's when it will be you giving the hints and having to nag and having to, you know, beg, and arguments will come about because you're not getting what you feel like you deserve. But it's like, well, what did you do? You know, how flexible were you? You know, how understanding were you when we wanted to do X, Y, and Z? So, it's, you know, it's just one of those things that you guys a lot of times have to learn over time, and, you know, and hopefully, but you know, you guys who listen, a lot of this stuff is, you know, some stuff, not all, but a lot of it is me preaching to the choir, because some of the best women I've ever met and ever encountered, to be honest with you, are right there in the Friends of the Dayton Talbert Show group. It's not a lot. It's not a lot, which kind of goes to show you that it's a very select few group of people who are really, even though many of them have a long way to go and are still learning, but still, that being said, are some of the best women. I give you all a hard time. You guys who listen to the show, trust me on this. Y'all who participate, y'all who have even reached out for private counseling, y'all are some of the best women already, struggling or not. You know, and I mean that. I'm telling you, there are some of the best women out there. If y'all are where y'all are, you know, imagine where some of these other women who aren't even exposed to this knowledge and would literally say, I ain't going out to no McDonald's, and I got that head full of weave, colorful weave, out there having sex right now, out there on their way to the club right now. Just imagine, y'all are some of the best women out there. So just pat yourselves on the shoulder, give yourselves a round of applause, and I thank y'all for listening. We're just about out of time, man, so we're going to get ready to wrap it up. But we will be back live sometime next week, because as I mentioned, 24 comes back, Best Show of All Time is back on Monday night, and I would just encourage all y'all just to watch it. Probably be the best, you know, entertainment drama that y'all have ever experienced ever. But yeah, check that out. What else? You know, counseling obviously is available. We mentioned in the beginning of the show, I'm gonna close out the show, look out for in the next couple of Sundays, Between Brothers, myself and Oshel. That's just, you know, advice, questions, topics, spirituality, dating, relationships, whatever you want to talk about. It's gonna be on a Sunday night, quick hour, 9 to 10, just talking about issues that you guys have heard us talked about maybe, but just from a different perspective, his perspective, my perspective. Just going to be a great show. Look out for it. So thank you all for tuning in tonight, spending your Friday night with us, and I'll see you all next time. Peace. Are you looking for love out there? Pain is all you find. A great man who will treat you right, make you his queen. Caught your case of blues. I know a man who will pick you up. God will tell you.
Let Dayton be your motivation, child. Let Dayton overcome and rock your world. Let Dayton be your motivation, child. Let Dayton over motivate you, girl. Let Dayton be your motivation, child. Let Dayton overcome and change your world. Don't ever let yourself settle for less. You don't have to be a fool. Call him up, let the tears fall. Little girl, don't be lost anymore. Lean on his wisdom if you feel.